much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
All right, hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio, folks, the people love him.
You absolutely suck.
Hey, B, I know it's a fat chance or a slim chance that you're going to forget, but we're just a few days away now from daylight savings time. You know, I'm so excited, I feel like my head is going to literally explode. Oh, and it may not be a piece of cake or easy as pie, but stand your coworkers. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's people who misabuse the English language. All right, stay strong in 2011.
Ooh, Arsenio Hall is here, looking good.
And now.
I went to Vivienne Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like.
Did you hit that?
Oh!
Be the interview killer.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. All new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning.
What's up, party people?
What's happening?
Looks like Gaddafi may be dead.
Really?
How about that?
I haven't been following that story at all.
Yeah, it's been a little bit under the radar here in the United States. First reports came out that said the stronghold there in Libya, his compound and the area around it, supported by all of his troops, was all that was left, and the resistance had gotten the rest of it. But then the first reports came out and said that they captured the city. Then the next report said that they found Gaddafi. Then the report after that said that he had been severely wounded. Now they're reporting that he may be dead, not confirmed by the government yet. But those dictators, man. They can't hang on forever, almost forever, but not quite forever.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me all. They will die to protect me and my people.
Mm-hmm.
Until they don't.
Or they'll kill you.
Or they'll kill you. So anyway, I'm sure Doc will have more on that story in a few minutes, but that's the late-breaking news, and I'm kind of with you. I'd kind of forgotten that Libya was a thing.
Wow, who knew?
Let me start with this story, Kevin. I don't know if you had to deal with this or not. Probably not, but there is an unbelievable amount of pressure on parents these days to get their kids in the right boarding schools and the right preschools and the right elementary schools. People who have the trajectory that they determine when their kids are born that they're going to, you know, Harvard, they plan that out their whole lives.
I think it's much, much more about the parents than it is the kids, though. That's my theory.
Oh, well, the kids don't know any difference. Right. The kids just go wherever you point them.
But
right.
The parents need to be able to tell their friends, hey, well, you know, Harvard, and then it makes them look good.
You think that's what it is?
I really
do. To tell their friends, not because they want their kids to have
the best. Well, of course they want their kids to have the best, yes. But I mean, every step of the way, you put your kids in public school? Really? Like, they look down their noses at you and go, yeah, it's a good school. It's really weird.
You always see stories about, parents camping out in front of the school on the day that they need to get their paperwork in. And every once in a while, there's a story about they fake an address. They use an address in a different part of town so it looks better. And this article that I'm about to tell you about also included a sidebar where they say that parents start videotaping to make DVDs of their kids, a brag reel, they call it, from their time they're little kids, where they show them doing athletics and, you know, dressed in their Girl Scout uniform and all this stuff so that they have basically something, you know, like they're interviewing for a job. They have as much evidence as possible that their kid is awesome to get into sometimes preschool. Well, this story comes out of Queenstown, New Zealand. Here's a woman who has been arrested because she was trying to get her kid into a prestigious school. And I guess, I don't know why it doesn't say, but I guess there was some sort of other kid. It was a limited amount of admittance possible that semester.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another kid who she knew was up for it.
Oh, no.
Instead of hers. So she called both schools that she had been applying to, posing as a nurse, and told the school that the daughter's rival applicant was a lesbian and had untreated sexually transmitted diseases.
What? Really?
Yes, she has been arrested, by the way, and charged with what we would call fraud, but charged in New Zealand of using a telephone for fictitious purposes. She could possibly spend 3 months behind bars and be fined $2,000. So she's out on bail right now until she gets sentenced. But she's calling. It doesn't say what grade school this is. The woman is 53 years old. I don't know if that helps us figure out how old her kid is.
Yeah, maybe like middle school, high school.
Maybe something like that. But imagine calling up and pretending to be a nurse to try to smear dirt on another kid who doesn't have anything to do with this.
And you know, she came up with lesbian thinking that would be enough. And then when the person on the other end of the phone said, and then she goes, has sexually transmitted diseases as well.
What a crazy phone call for the school to get.
Yeah.
Like, why would the nurse be randomly calling? Hey, you know that chick who's trying to get into your school? Well, let me tell you about her. But the school followed up and called the clinic that the woman claimed to be a nurse from and found out the whole thing was fake. So that's how she got arrested.
Wow.
But that's maybe trying too hard. That's maybe missing the point of the whole experience.
Yeah. And then Steve Jobs comes along. He's dropped out and look what he did.
All right. And Bill Gates.
And Bill Gates, right.
And Mark Zuckerberg. Another high school. All college dropouts.
There's that. And who was it? Spielberg couldn't get into USC film school.
Yes. Well, this guy's got no talent.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
It's a good question. That is a good question. I don't know what
well
it would come, I don't know what it would come down to or why, but it is a good question.
If it comes down to it, it's the best part.
It's just like, let's just accept the fact that the world is such that it's going to come down to it. Would you do it?
Like, you did make it sound like you have no choice. You have to decide.
Right. There are some instances where all of the right things could be in place where that could happen. I just don't know how.
No.
All right. Let's talk about on the program today. We are going to talk about money wasting on insignificant items, tiny little insignificant items. Ralph was at in Philadelphia, and he ran into a friend who was signing a paper of some kind, and he had a pen. And it was $225 for a pen. $225.
And the guy was pleased with that.
Oh, very.
Very excited
Ralph
to have
said,
that $225 pen.
$225 on him. That's a Mont Blanc, or however you say that.
That's right.
And he's like, yeah, it's a good pen.
But look, he was able to sign that credit card receipt with it.
No, you can't do that with a regular pen. So I don't know. That seems crazy. So we're going to talk about that, especially in this economy. Seems like a little ridiculous. We have a brand new internet roundup for you today. We're fighting over a cute dog video. I want it taken down. B wants it up.
It's not a cute dog.
Oh,
it's the cutest dog in the world.
First of all,
big
it's
difference.
Not. A, no. B, it. That noise.
How can you hate on the cutest dog in the world?
The noise that I just made is the noise that dog makes. And the woman dresses the dog.
You couldn't be more wrong. It's not the dog's fault. Boo is awesome. Yeah, maybe Boo needs a new family, but Boo is the cutest dog in the world, and you'll see it on the internet roundup.
Boo needs its vocal cords cut.
How dare you?
That's acceptable, right?
That's what Boo would say about you if you were listening right now.
That's very true. A lot of people said that about me. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah.
Coming up today.
Maybe we'll talk, to Boo.
Dr. Drew's going to be on the program.
Great.
You know, he's got that HLN program. He's got a program on the CW. He's always got a lot to say. Lindsay Lohan was in court yesterday, and the judge pretty much, the judge hates her.
Mm-hmm. The judge should hate her.
Oh, my God, the judge hates her. It's so sweet. We also have Lake Bell on the program today.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know if you're watching that How to Make It in America on HBO, but...
All chicks named Bell, by the way, are hot. I don't know if you've noticed that enough, but Kristen Bell, Lake Bell, Catherine Bell, all of them.
Oh, true. So we got that coming up today. We have, Occupy Long Beach. We're talking to some people from that group. I have a lot of questions. I don't understand what any of this is for.
And what they're supposed to do in Long Beach about it.
Right, exactly.
Occupy Wall Street, at least the people who you're mad at walk by you. In Long Beach, what do you got?
Well, I guess so, but
you think Snoop Dogg's going to drive by?
Give you some
and
weed?
And he's going to do something? I mean, what's your plan?
I don't know. That's good. We have many questions. We don't understand much of it.
It would be like me getting on a plane for Phoenix right now to protest the World Series. I don't get that.
Mm. We also have, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a new app from Bjork. And I don't know. It's like $9.99. It's one of those where you go, what? Apps cost that much? Because really, at the most, don't you pay $1.99? Most of them are free. You pay $1.99, but Bjork comes along. She's got one that's $9.99, and she's Bjork.
Apparently it's getting rave reviews from the people who have used it. Apparently it's pretty cool.
And she makes pretty much the same sound as Boo the dog when she sings, so that's not good. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Hey, party people. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ralph, you all caught up? Get some sleep last night? You back
to
yourself yet?
Nope.
Still dying? You're nearly dead?
I'm still jet-lagged and hungover, right. And my innards are in a twist.
Oh, good.
The thing is, when you go back home like I did, you tend to eat everything you ever ate when you lived there because you want to catch up?
Not because you're hungry?
Not because you're hungry. Right. It's because, oh, I haven't had soft pretzels yet. I got a you know, half a dozen of those. And, oh, well, I got to get a cheesesteak at this place, but I got to get a cheesesteak at the other place, too. So you end up having a cheesesteak for breakfast and then for lunch. And then there's a culinary masterpiece that comes out of Philadelphia that is known as Scrapple.
Scrapple?
Scrapple is a breakfast meat. Some people, you know, you get eggs and bacon, or you get eggs and sausage. In Philadelphia, you get eggs and scrapple.
What is the meat from?
You don't want to know, Kevin.
The scrapple is, as you can imagine, from the source word in scrapple being scrap, is when they're done with the pig, when they take the stuff that they make pork chops out of, and they make hot dogs out of, and make sausage out of, and whatever else you use for the pig.
Oh, no.
Whatever left, whatever the scraps are, they take it, and then they grind it up into a meat product, and then they put spices in and stuff and everything, and they form it into a brick.
A brick?
Yeah. And then you cut off slices of the brick, and you fry it up in your frying pan, and you serve it up, and that's scrapple. And it is amazingly delicious.
It's mostly the nose, as I understand it, right?
It's nose, but it's also ears and cartilage and, you know, things.
That isn't good for you.
It isn't.
If you have the option of eating other parts.
But it's delicious. Really is delicious, if you've ever had it. It's amazingly tasty.
It sounds like I wouldn't have that until the last days when everybody's, like, fighting and battling and the zombies are taking over and it's the only thing available.
Look, I understand just from the description why you would feel that way, but if you had ever tasted scrapple, you would know it is one of the great things on the planet Earth.
Okay.
So I had that every morning for breakfast.
Oh.
Scrapple. And then there's a new restaurant in Philadelphia which has something called the Scrapple Cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Which is a cheesesteak.
Come on. Without steak?
Slathered with scrapple.
Oh.
And then they get a soft boiled egg on top of it that you break and spread over the sandwich, and it's served on a giant cheesesteak roll. And that was my final meal leaving Philadelphia, and that meal has still yet to leave me, I think.
Maybe your final meal ever. Now, is Philadelphia officially the fattest city in America, or are they just in the running for it?
I think they're just in the running for it every year. I don't know if they got the crown this year, and I think someplace in Wisconsin actually won the crown. But they're up there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Who's hungry?
And it's just, and you know, the great pizza in Philadelphia and stuff like that. So you don't eat a balanced diet.
No,
when you're in town, at least I don't. So after 4 days of eating like that, your body starts to ask questions of you.
I'm sure you drank a lot.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, every meal.
Yeah,
and
it's going to take you about a week to get over that.
It really does. It kind of throws you off. It kind of takes you out of your comfort zone. So
it's the opposite of living in California, going to Philadelphia. Isn't it?
It is very much so. Yes, there's not a lot of concern for health, and you don't see a lot of people running and stuff like that. You see a lot of people drinking and fighting. First night in Philadelphia, I checked late into the hotel. I was walking down one of my favorite streets to one of my favorite bars. And as I was walking up, I saw two guys get into a drunken fist fight. It was like in a three-block span. I go from my hotel. I come out the door. I make a left. Two guys in a drunken fist fight that I skirt around on the sidewalk.
Did you throw a punch on your way through?
Another girl.
Maybe they wouldn't know.
Another girl in the alley with her girlfriend holding up her hair as she was she was purging the alcohol that she had had all night. And then a guy came up to me and asked me if I wanted to buy some blow.
Wow.
And I said, three blocks.
I'm home.
I'm
Philadelphia,
home.
Baby. Greatest city in the world. So I was very pleased with myself as I chuckled on the way into the bar.
Well, it's a miracle that you're still standing and you're here today to bring us the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So well done.
It's not because I'm made from solid Philadelphia stock. That's why.
You're made from scrapple is what you're
That's
made
right.
from.
I am mostly scrapple. Before I get to showbiz news, let me give away some passes to this very cool event that we're having, the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of The Rum Diary.
Yay!
Brand new movie starring Johnny Depp based on the novel written by Hunter S. Thompson, father of gonzo journalism. This was the first novel that Hunter ever wrote. In fact, Johnny Depp found it in his basement in a box.
What's Johnny Depp doing looking through boxes in his basement?
They were great pals. They would hang out constantly. And Johnny said, what is this thing? And he goes, oh, yeah, Rum Diary. That was the first book I wrote when I was in my 20s. He's like, well, you should publish this. We should develop this.
It was so never published?
No, they ended up publishing it a couple years after Johnny found it. And he always had planned to make a movie on it before Hunter passed away and or took his own life. And then it finally did. Finally got it out in theaters.
How many books do you think people like that have written and just are sitting around?
I guess.
That's crazy.
I guess if you're young, if you write a ton,
yeah,
the early stuff you write when you're young, you don't think that much of because you're busy concentrating on whatever it is you're thinking of at the time, you know? So, yeah, I love Johnny Depp. I love Hunter S. Thompson. I'm looking forward to this flick. It happens on Friday, October the 28th. That's when it's in theaters everywhere. We're having a screening on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 25th, at the Arclight in Hollywood. If you'd like to attend, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller that gets through gets a pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Rum Diary. Yesterday was magical. I don't know if anybody sat and watched it. I know Kevin and I did in the office. They had a live feed from the courtroom where Lindsay Lohan was rolling her eyes at the judge.
Oh, my God. She wanted to talk so badly.
She could not contain her contempt for that judge really at all, to the point where the judge was like, Miss Lohan. She's like, oh.
Judge couldn't contain her contempt either.
There was a lot of hate going on in that room. Lindsay got her probation revoked, at least for the time being. They plan to have a full hearing to see whether she indeed did violate her probation or not. But for the time being, until that hearing, which I believe is November the 2nd, they will officially determine whether she violated her probation on that date. She was sent off to jail. She saw her in cuffs being led out of the courtroom.
That was satisfying, wasn't it?
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Lindsay was released on $50,000 bail for each of two cases, her 2007 DUI and the 2011 jewelry theft case. So it was $100,000 altogether. And I think they saw this coming because they had a bail bondsman in the hallway outside of the courtroom waiting to bail Lindsay out. So she wasn't in there for long.
I love that we're waiting to find out if she violated her probation when it's pretty obvious that she did. I mean,
well, here's the thing that her defense attorney brought up a fairly decent argument, which was, I mean, yesterday was supposed to be a progress hearing to see how she was doing in the midst. And the judge said, well, she blew off 9 separate scheduled appointments with the Woman Center where she was supposed to be doing her community service. She's only completed, I don't know, 37 hours out of 360, whatever she's supposed to do. But the thing is, she had a year to complete that community service. There's only been 6 months so far. I mean, she'd have to haul ass to get it done, but potentially, I guess she still could comply.
Still under the deadline, right?
Yeah, if she did fulfill all of her obligations within the next 6 months. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to say in November, but it'll be interesting. It was funny, too, that Lindsay jammed in a whole bunch of community service in the last week with the Red Cross. Because the community center, the Woman Center said, you know what, you can't come here anymore. You're not playing by the rules. You're not showing up. You're not doing us any good. You cannot fulfill your obligation here. So she had it transferred over to the Red Cross and apparently just banked a ton of hours there. And the judge said, you know, that wasn't my sentence. I sentenced you to the Downtown Women's Center. This consider that bonus community service. Like something you just did for the good of mankind because I'm not applying it towards your sentence. So
awesome.
The past week where she's been just trying desperately to garner as much time as she can for community service is now invalid.
She's had an ass full of Lindsay.
Yeah.
Great band, by the way. Can we talk about her insane clown posse makeup, too? What's up with that?
I don't know.
It was Halloween in the courtroom.
All she was missing was a clown nose.
Yeah.
Well, she has to spend some time down at the L.A. morgue, too. She has to do some community service down there. And I said to Kevin, I think she's already dressed as a corpse so she can blend in. Because she had, like, this crypt keeper, sunken jaw, like, brown makeup on her cheeks and stuff. I was like, wow, she looks rough.
Maybe she had the embalmer do her makeup before she came to court.
Great idea. Try to garner some support. Yesterday, just yesterday, we were talking about the lovely and talented Judy Greer.
Yes. Yes.
Who was on 2.5 Men.
Right.
And we said, wish we didn't have to suffer through 2.5 Men to see Judy Greer. Well, how about this? ABC has announced they're developing a sitcom starring Judy Greer.
That's what I'm talking about.
You guys speak, and then it comes true.
Hollywood pretty much jumps when we say jump.
Wow.
Judy Greer developing her own half-hour sitcom series over at ABC based on the real-life story of when she had to move away from Los Angeles for the man that she loved and found herself raising stepchildren in a small suburban town. So, good for you, Judy.
I loved her last ABC sitcom, Misguided. It only aired a few times, but it was so funny, and she was just adorable in it.
Congratulations, Dr. Danny Masterson and his girlfriend Bijou Phillips. They finally tied the knot last week in Ireland in a private castle. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Intimate ceremony with family and friends, as you can imagine, because you're asking people to go to Ireland to be at your wedding. I can see why people want to get married in faraway places. But it's a hell of a thing to ask people to come to your wedding.
I think they ask, but don't expect them to come, I would imagine. They just want the gifts.
That's the wedding you have when you don't really want a lot of people right. to show up to it. Yeah.
Hey, I know you can't make it, but I'm just letting you know.
Well, like, we had that whole discussion with the people, our friends here at K-Rock, who got married in Hawaii, remember? And I think they invited all of us, including me, who they barely know, just to get gifts. Yeah. Knowing we wouldn't come to the wedding, but they'd still get something out of it.
Yeah. Nice try with me, by the way.
They denied it, but...
Overruled!
Today's celebrity birthday is musician Tom Petty. He is 61 years old.
He is
today.
Not a good-looking 61.
He is not.
Let's be honest.
No, he wasn't a great-looking 25, to be to be completely honest. So in his defense, nothing really lost there. Director Danny Boyle. Oh, Danny Boyle. He's 55 years old today. Viggo Mortensen and his tail, 53 years old today. Snoop Dogg, 40 years old today. John Krasinski of The Office is 32. And Victoria's Secret model Candace Swanpoole.
Yes.
She's 23 years old today. That's a good 23.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Is.
Give me that, some of that 23 right there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm Harry.
I'm Bean.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, I haven't been over to krock.com or kevinandbean.com yet. Who's the hot chick on TV for today?
Lake Bell.
Oh, what a perfect choice.
Yeah.
She's coming up on the show later on today. Explain to folks who maybe haven't been to the website this week what the plan is.
It's the top 10 sexiest women on your television this fall.
And this is according to?
Me.
Oh,
this is okay. My top 10 list. I did one last year of the best breasts.
Okay.
Because it is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But the 10 sexiest women on TV this fall. They're pretty good, these women.
You don't have to tell me about October. I'm giving myself a self-breast exam right now. So I'm definitely part of the program there.
Okay.
And you can also check out photos and audio highlights from our Breakfast with Coldplay from a couple days ago, too. That's all up at krock.com. Don't forget, you can write to any of us here on the show. Addresses are on the website, too, but they're generally whoever you're trying to reach at krock.com. And this brings us into our email segment for today. What are people talking about?
Dear Kevin and Bean, Amy writes, did anyone notice that Mitchell and Cameron from Modern Family pulled a Kevin tonight? I'd like to object to calling it pulled a Kevin. I don't want to be known as, like, that's my thing.
No, it is an expression that's in the language now, and I'm starting to see it more and more. Like when that nuclear reactor melted down in Japan, a guy on the news was like, oh, and the Japanese pulled a Kevin today, and I was like, oh, man, it's really gone wide.
They drove off in the wrong car from the valet at a club.
The valet, easy to do, right, Kevin?
The valet gave them the wrong car. Yeah, I was watching. I was going, oh, my God. I don't know how many people that's ever happened to, but I certainly am one of them, and it certainly was not a highlight of my life.
You certainly heard about it for years afterwards,
yes.
Didn't you? And you were driving down the road, and you thought that they had gotten in, if I recall correctly, and screwed with your radio or left something in your car,
yeah,
and
was
you found
mad.
Out it wasn't yours, right?
They must have been driving my car. Where's my stuff? And I was like, oh, my God, it's not my car.
Here's a couple about the topic we had a few days ago. You run into a celebrity that you are not a fan of, and our question was, do you say something? Do you take that opportunity, hey, I really don't like this person, I'm going to let him know it, or do you just play it cool and think, hey, that's a dick move, I'm just going to shut up and not say anything? Well, here's a couple of stories from our listeners. Margie from Orange writes in, I was working at Anaheim Stadium. The Rams were playing the Chargers one year. Brett Michaels from Poison approached me and was hitting on me hard. I pretended to not know who he was, but when he took my hand, I turned his wrist and I saw that he had a tattoo on his forearm of "Every rose has its thorn." Then I pretended to recognize him and I said, "Ew," and walked away.
Nice.
He had come to the game with Pam Anderson and had come out onto the concourse to talk with me. I was 16 at the time. Love you guys, Margie. He's at the game with Pam Anderson.
Her heyday, probably. Right, the Rams were there, right? That's when she was smoking hot.
Yes. Yet he still saw this chick working the concourse and said, I got to go get me some of that. So I say well done, Brad. I don't care about you, Margie. I think that's a baller move right there. And the other one from Manuel said, dear Kevin and Bean, I don't hate George Clooney, but I think he's a smug a-hole. I was having lunch in Studio City 2 months ago when he came and sat down next to us with another guy. He looks over, starts talking to us, asks if we recommend anything on the menu. He could not have been nicer during the conversation. Then the bastard gets up to leave. I think he may be going to use the bathroom, but no, he arranged to pay for our lunch. I think I hate him more now.
What? Too nice?
What does a guy have to do? What, is he trying too hard? Doesn't George Clooney seem like the coolest guy ever?
Yes. Yes. And at least he's ugly. Oh, wait.
Oh, right.
We were talking about people who are impaled. yesterday. We got way too many calls. We thought we'd get like one or two, honestly.
It was unbelievable. We could still be taking them. They were coming in so fast.
This actually happened to my brother. He was in a glass shower with his girlfriend, apparently putting some pressure on the glass wall. The glass broke. It was not safety glass. He fell back, landed, sitting down on a 2-inch glass shard that was sticking up.
Oh, dude.
The shards went into the back of both thighs, about 2 inches deep. Just missed you-know-what. Mark.
Talk about the opposite result of what he thought was going to happen that day. When
kidding.
He crawled into the shower with his
you
girlfriend.
Repel, you repel, you repel.
All right.
Painful things are going to happen.
Ouch. I got a couple on the impaling topic, too. Here's a listener from San Francisco who says, I've been riding BMX for years before I shattered my elbow for the second time and had to quit. I was in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco practicing my 360s, which can be quite disorienting when one bails, meaning you kick the bike out from under yourself midair. Well, I felt unstable on the launch, so I bailed out early on the jump, but I continued to spin with my bike beneath me. The bike bounced off the landing right to where I was landing.
Oh.
I felt the most painful burning sensation in my leg. I was unable to move it upon landing. Luckily, the handlebar went through my ball sack and into my right upper inner thigh, but did not hit either of my testicles.
Wow.
By the way, I've been told by many ladies I have a fantastic set of testicles. Being about 100 yards from my back, which contained my phone, luckily a dog walker shortly walked by and allowed me to call my brother on his phone, and they sent an ambulance. How about that? The handlebar tore through a ton of muscle, landed less than an inch from my femoral artery. I was rushed into emergency surgery. It cost $60,000. Two surgeries and 17 stitches on and in both sides of my scrotum.
Oh, man.
Good times. Love the show. Sorry I couldn't be on Bean's Death Corner by dying in a fun or interesting way, but keep up the mediocre work, gentlemen. That's from Tim. Dana writes, when I was little, I used to chew drinking straws. I think a lot of people have done that, right? I had one in my mouth as I was walking into our backyard. My dad didn't see me. He swung the gate closed. The gate hit the straw.
Oh.
The straw shot through the back of my throat and out the back of my neck.
Oh. That's awesome.
Good time, says Dana. And one more from listener Todd, listening since 1992. Thank you, Todd. Hey, since you say all of your listeners haven't been impaled and survived, think about all the impaling victims that did not survive. Your listenership should be at least double what it is
today.
That's
a good point.
That's true. We probably lost a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners over the year due to impalements that didn't work out so well.
My final one, just got out of my car after listening to you and Kevin Smith discuss The Walking Dead. As I'm walking across the street to go to work, I take a look at the front page of the USA Today, and what do I see? The CDC, Center for Disease Control, releases graphic novel on surviving zombie attacks.
Finally, thank God there's some guidance from the government on this.
How to survive a zombie attack from the CDC. I've seen The Walking Dead. The CDC is gone.
I'm tired of having to make up my own zombie escape plan. I want a little guidance from professionals. That's what I'm saying. And I've got one more from Steven, who hates Beer Mug as much as I do, but loves the new song.
Oh,
apparently, Dave, the King of Mexico, took some of Beer Mug's greatest hits and went into a program called Songify and came up with this gem. He asked, could we please play it again? You bet. And here it goes.
That's not brown rice. That's amazing. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. That's not brown rice. That's amazing.
Yay! That's a hit right there. I'm going to buy it.
Big show, including Lake Bell on the program today as well. Very excited about that. What else is coming up? Wheel of Bad Animal Voices? I guess we're doing that right now?
We are, as a matter of fact, yes.
I love that. What's going on? What are our choices?
Well, we're going to spin the wheel. It has the Hairy Crazy Ants.
Mm-hmm.
Kittler the Cat That Looks Like Hitler.
Oh, I want to talk to Kittler.
The Dumpster Diving Hobo Bear. The Whale Eating Worms. That doesn't sound fun. Charlie the Crime-Fighting Parrot, the Giant Chocoholic Fish, the South Korean Glow-in-the-Dark Beagle, the Albino Cyclops Shark, Boo the Cute... We're not doing Boo the Cutest Dog in the World.
He's the cutest dog in the world!
The Toledo Flag-Stealing Squirrel, the Shunned Brown Seal, and that's it. So we spin the wheel and see what we're going to talk
about. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Is that going to be known?
it's gonna land.
No, no.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Adam Voices.
Yeah.
All right, let's spin that wheel and see who we're gonna talk to today. Oh, I hope it's Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
Oh, what a shame. It's a South Korean glow-in-the-dark beagle.
Yay!
All right, what's this all about?
Sorry.
remember we do the story first, then we call.
South Korean scientists. This sounds like fiction. South Korean scientists have created a glow-in-the-dark dog.
Okay, why?
Because they genetically engineered it so it would glow-in-the-dark so that they could then introduce diseases and follow how they move and how they develop.
Okay, wait. So the dog is a clone?
Yes.
They took a dog and then they cloned that dog, and that dog's going to live in a laboratory, and they're going to shoot it up with cancer every day when they come in?
Yeah, with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or something like that, and then they can follow how it develops.
What a fun job for that dog.
It's not enough that it glows in the dark.
Every morning, a scientist comes in and gives him another disease. The puppy has to be sitting there going, come on.
This sucks.
I'm a puppy, and now I glow in the dark? All right, well, we asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up for us, and apparently, as you already heard, he did.
Oh,
we now go to South Korea to find out more about the glow-in-the-dark beagle whose name is Taegon. Taegon! Welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
How you doing, Ramda?
Well, we're doing fine. It doesn't even mention in the article that you can talk, but I'm so grateful you do.
Well, I guess when you glow in dark, that's all that people want to talk about.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Yeah. Can I hear Kevin describe how this all works again?
I thought that, for me, that was relatively good.
Yeah, this show you how the seasons move.
Taegon, what's all that racket in the background there in the lab?
That's me glowing.
Oh,
that's the sound of your body glowing in the dark. Okay.
It's hard
gotcha.
To show glow on radio.
That's true.
You have to use theater of the mind.
You're a very smart little dog.
I am very smart. I'm smarter than the guy who potted up the other studio before the story was told.
That was me as well.
Yeah, smarter than that guy.
So, Taegon, now, why are you barking if you can speak to us?
Because I'm a dog. That's what because we do. That's
you're true. A dog. Okay. So, yeah. Taegon, my understanding of your job is that accurate? You are sleeping in your little crate, and then in the morning, scientists come in, they unlock, turn on the lights, come over, and start shooting you full of hypodermic needles full of AIDS and stuff?
No, that's not how it works at
okay,
all.
Okay, how's it work?
Listen, the way that they introduce the gene into my DNA that make me grow, they also...
To make you grow?
Grow, that's what I say. Yeah. Grow, like grow in the dark.
To get big. Oh, grow. Oh, glow.
Grow in the dark.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Then... They could also introduce the same genes that create diseases, and that way they can use me as test subject.
Huh. That doesn't sound like much fun for you, though.
No, it's not. Don't get me wrong. It's not idea.
It's not
ideal? It's not a deer?
It's not ideal.
Oh, ideal. It's not ideal. Okay.
Exactly. That is not, but look, it could be worse, because I am in Korea.
That's true.
So I could be brunch for a family. So this way, at least I have a little bit longer to live.
Sure.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I mean, that's true. They give me Parkinson's.
Right, so is that something you want?
That's a little shaky.
I hope somebody doesn't eat you because you're apparently the smartest dog in the world, too.
Or maybe they introduce me with Alzheimer's or stuff, whatever it is, I forget.
Sure. He's a comedian, glow-in-the-dark dog. And
but the first chance I get out of here, trust me, I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
Taegon, be gone.
Yeah, right.
Taegon with the wind, they call me. That's when as soon as I see it at an opening, I have the dog.
Right, but it's not going to be hard to find you because you glow in the dark.
Speak truth. But upside, I can always lick myself in the dark. Well, I always know where to go.
That's true as well.
Yeah, that's true too, yeah.
And you should see cats freak the F out when they see me.
I bet.
Enough, most cats just get a dog as is. Wait till you see glowing dog come.
Yeah, that's going to be a scary.
Hey, watch your language.
They fill their little kitty litter. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
they're
just yes.
Void when they see me because they're so scared.
I understand.
Take on glowing dog. I better be scared. Ah!
Now you're taking for granted that's what's going to happen, or have you escaped before?
No, I haven't made my way out yet.
You haven't yet?
Okay. No. Okay.
It's hard to go under the radar when you are glow-in-the-dark
yeah.
dog.
Yeah. Seems like it, yeah.
And if they put an APB out for you, everybody can say, oh, I'd say I seen that glow-in-the-dark dog down yeah. there at Fifth and Elm.
Right.
Yeah, because you're the only one, right.
I'm the only one. They're not mistaking me with other dogs.
Sure, I understand. Wow. Well, you've really thought this whole thing through. I'm very impressed, Tagon.
Well, it's my life.
Yeah.
I gotta think about it and decide what I'm going to do.
Sure, I understand.
What are your options? I mean, it's basically escape or live there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Those are my only two options. That or go on lame-ass radio show and do comedy bits.
Well, that's probably not your good choice.
I wish I had not chosen that.
Ralph, you didn't come in and yell at us for doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Have you just given up?
Yeah, I've just surrendered. I don't have the energy or the interest anymore to try to sway you.
You just switch over to Seacrest for that 10 minutes and just feel like that's fine?
That 10 minutes? Kidding me? It's all I listen to all morning.
Dare you.
It's good.
What about the showbiz, though? What about that?
Whatever with
you
that guy.
You don't listen to that?
Horrible.
Speaking of the showbiz, Ralph is here on the Kevin and Bean Show with not only what's going on in Hollywood, but more free movie tickets. What?
Yes, I've got more passes to give away at the very special K-Rock advanced screening of The Rum Diary, new Johnny Yay! Depp film. This film is near and dear to Johnny's heart because it is based on the novel written by Hunter S. Thompson, who was his good friend up until the end of his life. Hunter checked himself out. He was ill. He was terminal, and he said he's going to go out on his own terms. So took himself out, and then Johnny disposed of his ashes by firing him off in a cannon.
It sounds like you're making that up.
No, it's true. There was fireworks and everything. It was quite the event. So they were very close, and this is Johnny's farewell letter to his buddy. The Rum Diary starts in theaters everywhere on Friday, October the 28th. You'll get to see it on Tuesday, October the 25th, if you're one of the first two callers to get through right now at 1-800-520-1067. The number again, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through, get a pair of passes to see The Rum Diary. I'm looking forward to this film. I'll be at the screening on Tuesday. It takes place in 1960 in Puerto Rico, and apparently that was just one of those Caribbean vacation destinations that was just booze and debauchery and women, and it's like Mad Men with an ocean.
Sweet.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that flick. This is a great story.
Okay.
And you share it with us or just keep it yourself?
I was just wondering.
Oh, you read it silently?
it just makes me realize that the president of the United States, with his wife and his kids and everything, he's just a guy. He's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
And apparently he hates the Kardashians as much as we do.
Sweet.
His wife says that he doesn't like it when his daughters watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She was asked about her daughter's TV viewing habits and says, Barack really thinks some of the Kardashians, when they watch that stuff, she was trying so hard not to come out and say
he
hates them. He doesn't like that as much. But I sort of feel like if we're talking about it, and if I'm more concerned about how they're taking it in, what you learn when you watch that, if they're learning lessons like that was crazy, then I'm like, okay. So as long as the kids mock the Kardashians as they watch them, I guess Michelle thinks it's a right view.
That's just not good.
It's just not. Don't let your kids watch the Kardashians.
But I guess it's good, especially if you have daughters like they do, to be able to point them toward the TV and say, okay, go in the opposite direction of what these people are doing.
See, everything that they do, you do different.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
That's what he says about the Kardashians.
That's true.
Yeah. While we're talking about television, I don't know if anybody saw Piers Morgan last night on CNN. Herman Cain.
He was on
last night on Piers Morgan.
He's very entertaining.
He is magic.
Who's this guy? Is he a
He's the Godfather candidate? Pizza guy. Godfather CEO Pizza. Of Godfather Pizza, okay. Who's running for the Republican ticket for president.
Oh, okay.
And Herman, he's the one with the 999 plan, the tax plan.
Yes.
And he's leading right now, Kevin. He's at the top of the polls among all candidates.
All right.
He won't move off of his sticking point that homosexuality is a choice. Piers Morgan brought it up last night.
Ew.
And he said, I think it's a sin because of my biblical beliefs. And although people don't agree with me, I happen to think it's a personal choice. What does science show? Show me other than opinion, and you might cause me to reconsider that. But where's the evidence?
But couldn't Mr. Cain just go, I'm attracted to women. Could I choose to be attracted to men? And if the answer is no, doesn't that just answer his question?
No, because it is a personal choice. Because Herman, like the rest of us, when we were five, the sexuality board came to us and asked us who we wanted to have sex with.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I had to fill out paperwork and everything. Yeah, I signed my name in crayon. It was a very, very big day in my life when I made my choice to be heterosexual.
All right.
It's an important time in any, man,
he's leading?
Any man's life.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's at the top right now.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, there are gay rights groups who are not pleased with his position.
That's just not good.
Although in his defense, he says, I respect the right to make that choice. You don't see me bashing them. Well, in that case, Sermon, and they should endorse you since you're not going around punching gays.
We'll be hearing Mr. Kane sing later in the show today part of today's brand new Kevin DeBeat Internet Roundup, but it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Sad, sad news. Looks like Ronnie and Sammy are broken up again.
Oh, no!
Yeah, yeah. He told Us Weekly magazine that their relationship is over. This is only the fifth time they've broken up that I can count, so I think this time they may mean it.
You know, there's 700 more in private.
Didn't show. Yeah, every weekend they break up and get back together again.
No!
Hey, Beer Mug, what do you think about a couple like that that can't stay together or be broken up over and over and over again?
Funny you ask, Bean. Funny you ask.
Yeah, usually people follow that up with something after they say funny you ask. No?
Yeah, it's
just funny that you ask.
Yep.
Khloe Kardashian, while we're talking about them, wants to kill her sister Kim.
Wouldn't you?
She's the good one. Why don't kill her?
No, but I'm saying if you're Khloe, I mean, you're compared to Kim. You're always taking pictures next to her. That's got to be a nightmare.
She, of course, doesn't literally want to kill her, but she says she makes her furious. Us Weekly magazine says Kim will ask everyone in the room what shoes she should wear, and then she wears the ones she wanted to wear anyway. Well, wow. I can see why that would drive someone to murder. That kind of behavior is just ridiculous. Hey, congratulations to our pal Judy Greer. We were just talking yesterday. How about the fact Judy should get her own TV show? ABC has announced they're developing a half-hour sitcom series for Judy Greer based on her relationship with her fiancé, where she had to move out of Los Angeles and help raise his kids, her stepchildren, in a small suburban town. You know what? I like the idea about this sitcom is that it's not a high concept hook to it, you know?
Right.
She's not an astronaut who...
They're not shooting for the moon?
...meets a Russian at the space station, and it turns out he's an alien. I mean, it's just, it's a situation where people are just living in a house together, hopefully being funny. That lends itself, I think, to more comic possibilities than some of these very specific high concept comedies.
I wonder if that young actor from House who played Bobby might be available to be the fiancé to
Junior. Oh, Bobby. Oh, I think he's busy with It's Bobby. He's
schedule. That's going to show.
It's Bobby!
Musicians. Can you imagine, Ralph, if you got the call that they wanted you to play Judy Greer's husband on a TV show? Would you be the happiest person in the world?
Yes, but I can't imagine it. It's so far out of the realm of possibility. It's even hard to... Yeah, now Kevin doing it, that would be something. I would watch every week. No, I wouldn't watch every week. I would go to the live tapings every week. Because Kevin trying to remember lines and delivering them in front of a studio audience would be the greatest!
It would take 20 hours to do a half-hour TV show.
Do you know what happened? When we're going to the neighbor's house for dinner?
It's Kevin jingle. I need that.
Here's Jude. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician Tom Petty, 61 years old today. Director Danny Boyle celebrates his 55th. Viggo Mortensen, 53 years old. Snoop Dogg. Where would we be without the Snoop Man? He is 40 years old. Actor John Krasinski has just announced he is going to be doing a feature film with Matt Damon in his directorial debut.
Oh.
Damon's directing a screenplay that John and Matt worked on together, 32 years old today. And Victoria's Secret model, maybe my favorite of all the Victoria's Secret models. And that's a hard choice to make.
That is a hard choice.
But Candace Swanepoel celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later on today, like he do. Coming up on the Kevin DeBeat Show, also we're going to talk to a member of Occupy Long Beach. Kevin, by the way, with his astute knowledge of what's going on down there, characterized everyone down there as being homeless yesterday on the show. And
I thought we all agreed on that.
No, I don't think they're homeless.
We? Yes.
I didn't think they were homeless at all.
Are they 24/7 for months?
I think there's a mix of people down there. I think there are You're probably right. There are probably some homeless people, but I think there are other people who are carving time out when they can to go down there and make a statement. But anyway, we're going to talk to one of those people coming up in less than an hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show from Occupy Long Beach.
We're not going to let Bean talk to Lake Bell later on today,
are
we?
That's a touchy subject.
What are you talking about?
You're creepy. That's what we're talking about.
I haven't said a word about Lake Bell except that I'm a fan of her work.
Uh-huh.
And those. Hey,
see?
Ralph.
Creepy filter in place, please.
You brought up something interesting, I think, off the air yesterday that happened to you when you were in Philadelphia over the weekend. And it leads us into an interesting topic. What happened?
We were just talking about people who spend unnecessary amounts of money on items when a lower cost version of that item would be just as perfectly acceptable in terms of its functionality.
And almost no cost. I mean, it's so like you can spend so little on it.
And the greatest example we could come up with was what happened to me this weekend. A friend of mine, we were out, and he, picked up the tab, and he was signing his credit card receipt with his pen. And he said, "Isn't this a great pen? Look at this pen." I said, "Oh, that's an attractive pen. I mean, what do you say about a pen?
I've never really, that category. Right?
I've never really thought one way or the other about pens." And he said, "Yeah, it's a Mont Blanc pen. Good deal, and it's only $225." And I went, yeah. What? $225 for a pen?
Did you find some water to drink just so you could do a spit take?
He said, "But this is a great pen." And I said, "It's a pen. By definition, a pen's job is to put ink on a paper. It's just to write your name or a note or something.
Right.
If I've got a Bic that I get it righted in a six-pack for $1.29.
Right.
And he's got a $225 Mont Blanc pen. And we both go to write our names, and both pens write our names. He's an a-hole." I was flummoxed. I couldn't get over the idea that someone would spend $225 for a pen.
Now, what is it about the $200 pen that he finds so satisfying?
I could not get him to answer that question. I kept asking, what is it? Why would you decide to make that purchase? What is it about that pen that you want? Because he said, I just wanted to have a really nice pen. And I said, but how do you define nice? How much nicer is that pen than, let's go high end. Let me go for like one of those rollerball pens. Let me go nuts over at Staples and pick up a pen that costs $1.29 just in its own
itself.
Right. And it's got a nice plastic bubble around it, and a nice piece of backing cardboard, and I pull it off the peg there, and I go up and I put down my $1.29 for that nice
pen. That's a nice pen.
That's a nice pen.
Right.
How now, much nicer is your pen for $225?
The question.
Does it fillet? Does something happen with this pen is there a feature you're not filling me in on? Because if it's just writing, if that pen's just writing, you are, sir, are an a-hole.
Is he paying for the brand name? I mean, is that basically it? Because how do they talk people into spending that much more?
What name could be worth $225 on a pen?
To him, it's Mont Blanc or however you say that.
But listen, it's a pen.
I agree.
The job of the pen, the functionality of the item is to simply deposit ink on a piece of paper.
Well, maybe you just don't know the finer points of pens.
Now,
I don't think it was a 5-point pen.
I can understand if you don't want a really, like, not a Parker or one of the big brand names. If you don't want a ghetto-ass pen that's going to splotch and leave, you know, ink blots or something when you're trying to. I can understand that. But it seems like you're absolutely right, Ralph. I don't think the difference, the functionality between a $2 pen and a $200 pen can be significant.
No.
I don't think I could pick up a piece of paper and tell which pen signed which piece of paper. I'll tell you that.
No.
But if you're worried about that, you get the expensive pen, which is $1.49 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
$1.29.
I mean, does it write, in space? Does it write by itself? Is it a ghost pen?
Does it translate into every language in the world?
And how many pens have you lost in your life, by the way?
All.
Right. I buy pens by the bushel, and I still can't find one in my house or in my bag here at work ever. I'm still asking people to borrow a pen because they're just constantly disappearing. What kind of jackhole do you feel like when you lose a $225 pen?
So was he able to defend it, or was it just like, get away from me, you don't understand, I'm not even going to possibly try to explain it?
I was the idiot. I didn't understand the value of a high-end Mont Blanc pen, how wonderful that was and how excited he was to get it. I was just a philistine. I just couldn't wrap my head around it.
Are there pen snobs? I mean, is this
obviously there must be. He didn't seem like he was a pen collector or anything. He was just really pleased to have a nice pen.
He wasn't trying to be snobby. He was just happy with it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think... I think two things here. One, first of all, in the words of Big Sean, maybe he was working too hard to be balling on a budget. I don't know if you ever thought about that. But second of all, aren't there Mont Blanc pen stores? Haven't I seen that,
yes,
like,
yeah,
in the mall? I mean, like an actual store where that's what they sell as pens, right?
I'm not saying this guy's alone. I think there are people like him out there, obviously, because they do have Mont Blanc pen stores. And, you know, the cross pen for many years was the sort of the industry standard, when it, like a nice metal pen that you would carry around and everything. I can understand that there are people who do it, but I just can't understand why they do it, I guess, is my problem. And there's a line of items like this across the board that I just, my head explodes when I hear what people are paying for.
Was this guy ultra rich?
No.
And so
no.
To him, he wasn't.
No.
So
he's not poor. I mean, it's
right,
not.
But to him, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that was a solid investment for him. You know,
all right.
My point was, if I was the richest man in the world, if I was Bill Gates, I still wouldn't spend $225 on a pen. There would be other places I would spend that money, other
hookers,
than on a multi-hundred-dollar pen.
We're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067 on this topic. Doesn't have to be pens, but you were starting to say there are other items. I mean, there are people who would argue it's ridiculous to spend $200,000 on a car, yet lots of people do that.
But here's the thing. With cars, I find there is some sort of technological or comfort or luxury advantage to paying for a high-end car. I guess there is a point of diminishing returns where it really doesn't matter if you're getting an $80,000 car or $150,000 car.
Yeah, it's not twice as good.
It's not twice as good,
right.
But you can see where if you're going to get a Kia or something, just for basic transportation, versus like a Bentley or a Rolls or, you know, or BMW. There is a significant difference in quality with that giant leap in cost.
But is there a leap in quality for pens?
That's what I'm saying. There are certain items where there's no leap in quality. I had a friend of mine spend $500 on a wallet once. A wallet. Let me tell you what wallet is. Wallet is a piece of stitched together leather that holds your money and your license. The exact same function that happens with my $20 Buxton was happening with his $500 whatever brand he was rocking.
And you hide it almost all the time.
Nobody sees your wallet unless they're in your ass or in your pocket. It's not like it doesn't even have the fashion upside where you can flaunt your high-profile wallet.
Right.
Because everyone says, oh, look at that fancy wallet he has, because it's in your ass pocket, so no one sees it.
But all
and the function is identical. There's no difference.
It can't hold your money better.
No. You don't open it up, and then a little hand comes out from inside the wallet and gives you exactly the bill you're looking for. Oh, here's your five, sir. It's like a caddy on a golf course that gives you your club. Here's your 20. I know you would need a 20 in this case. Here's a little magic leather hand that comes out and hands you the 20. It's the same. I have to go into my wallet just like he goes in for the $500 wallet.
Okay, we got to take a break here. Mike, you hang on. We want to talk to you about your $300 flashlight when we return.
I hate Mike.
But what did you buy, or what do you know people have bought that is in the category of what we're talking about? The really expensive one can't possibly be that much better than the inexpensive one. That's what we want to find out from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin.
Money Wasters! Money Wasters! Money Wasters! Money Wasters! Stupid!
Cha-ching!
Yeah.
Ralph was telling us a story a minute ago about his trip to Philadelphia this weekend. A friend of his bought a pen. Cost how much? To what?
$225. And that was a deal. He said he got a deal on it.
A deal?
That was a deal. You got a break. I don't know what it usually runs retail, but he knew a guy.
Here's an email from Phil. There was an older guy at my office who would spend hours on eBay every week trying to find deals on super expensive pens. Thousands of dollars some of these pens were. All he could tell me is that it's like jewelry or a watch.
No.
Status and aesthetics.
No, it's not. You know what's like jewelry? Jewelry. You know what pens are? They're like pens.
Yeah. And jewelry, a watch can have diamonds and everything else on it to make it.
Look, watches, I know I'll get an argument on this, but I will fight the same fight about watches. You can find a reasonably priced watch that tells excellent time versus a $5,000 Rolex or whatever without diamonds and rubies and platinum or whatever. Just a watch tells time exactly the same. It's beyond me how someone will spend the extra thousands of dollars just to say that they have a Rolex on their arm.
But we're looking for more insignificant things like a pen.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Things that people don't even see, like your wallet.
Right.
For God's sakes.
Let's talk to Mike on line 3. He was kind enough to hold during the song there. Mike has a flashlight that he would like to tell us about. And Mike, I want to make sure we understand we're on the same page here. It's not a fleshlight, right? Because that might be worth the money.
No.
All right. What's the story?
It's a $300 flashlight. I have three of them, actually.
So you spent almost $1,000 on three flashlights.
Yeah, and okay. Batteries. Don't even get me started on batteries.
Sure, the batteries, yeah.
He said that like it made it better. I have three of them.
All right, what's going on with this flashlight? Why is it so expensive?
It's a Surefire. It's a military-grade flashlight. I work in the production industry, so when I get blinded by lighting fixtures, it's nice to be able to fight back so I can see what I'm doing to continue doing my job. So
so you need a very strong flashlight so that you can fight other people with lights?
Yes.
Well, is it a lightsaber you bought or a flashlight?
What kind of war is going on that we don't know about?
Is it brighter than a normal
the
flashlight?
The sun?
Yes. It's significantly brighter than a normal flashlight. A normal flashlight will be run you like 15 or 20 lumens, and
this is like
200, 250.
All right.
So it's,
all right, I guess I can see that. All right.
Yeah.
That's useful. You're okay. You don't have to sell them.
Yeah.
Although you don't need three. Let's be honest.
No, he needs three. What do the batteries run you for those?
About $3 a piece.
$3 a piece.
Well, hey, he said don't get him started on the batteries.
Well, I had to get him started. I needed to know.
Yeah.
Let's try Brian. Thank you for the call.
$3 for flashlight. I still don't buy it. I guarantee you can find whatever luminescence he needs on a cheaper flashlight. I guarantee it. Military grade. Unless you're in the military, you don't need anything military grade. Unless you're fighting in Iraq, you don't need anything military grade.
Let's go to Brian on line six. He's going to take us into another area of expensive items we didn't know existed. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. I have what you call a keyport slide.
A what?
It's basically a keyport slide.
What is that?
Is it a key?
Keyport slide.
Yeah, it's a key. It holds all your keys, and they slide out like as if it was like a knife or something.
It's a key ring.
Yeah.
It's a key ring, essentially.
How much did your key ring cost you?
It cost me about $100 when I was first...
$100 for a key ring.
For a key ring.
Yeah, but it's not like your keys don't jiggle or anything.
Well, for $100, they don't jiggle. It's well worth it.
Yeah, well,
I'd pay $1,000 if my keys didn't jingle, because you know how that ruins your life.
Don't you also need something in your pocket to keep your coins separate from one another so that they don't touch and make noise?
No, well, that's what the fifth pocket is for.
Yeah,
Brian, you're just a ruin of a man.
Thank you for the call. Mark writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. He bought a Dunhill lighter in England for $350. He put it on his customs declaration form. The U.S. customs agent made him pull it out of the luggage because he had never seen or heard of a lighter that cost that much.
You know why?
It has gold on it or something.
Does it ever run out? If it doesn't run out, it's worth it.
Right. If it's a perpetual lighter forever, then it's worth $300.
Let's talk to Melissa. She's on line five. I guess chicks are buying crazy things for crazy money, too. Hi, Melissa. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah, so a $75 lollipop.
A $75 lollipop?
Yeah.
Is it an antique of some kind?
I mean, antique lollipop?
No, but I mean like a...
Well, it tasted good, but no, it has like all these little like rhinestones on the stem I got over in Vegas. I want a ridiculous amount of money, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy something I probably never buy.
And by the way, first of all, if you win it in Vegas, you're entitled to blow it because it's nothing lost,
and that's
man.
That's blowing it.
And that is blowing it, but thank you for
that
the call. You know what, Ralph? We didn't even get into this area, and I'm so glad Melissa brought up the lollipop. What about the people who buy a $5,000 dinner? What about those people, that meal?
Well, I think, again, there is a difference between McDonald's, for some people, and a high-end restaurant with really high-end ingredients and food that is made by an expert chef. I mean, some people can tell the difference. I'm a foodie, so I can appreciate paying for a meal that's great. Because there is a difference in quality between one restaurant or another.
I agree there is between fast food and a high-end meal. How much of a difference is there between a good restaurant and a ridiculous, you know, $200 restaurant?
Not much.
$300, $500. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some of those meals, it's crazy how much they're charging for that stuff.
Well, it's like wine, too. You know, I mean, some people with a developed palate can tell difference between a high-end bottle of wine and a regular drinking
like
bottle
Kevin.
Of wine.
Kevin, for instance.
Most people think they can and can't.
No, I know. Kevin
All right,
has
let's
this
close,
problem
let's
with wine
close
drinkers.
With Rick.
But I'm talking about stuff that there's no difference in function, like a lighter.
Yeah.
Like a lighter. If a Bic lighter lights my cigarette
right.
and a Dunhill for $300 lights my cigarette, F you! No difference!
Rick, hi.
Hey, first-time caller. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I dropped about 18 grand on a toolbox about a year back.
On a toolbox?
Yeah.
How do you spend 18 grand on that?
Well, it's a nice box.
It's a nice box. Well, you
I
got
didn't
that.
Know it was nice.
Is it jewel-encrusted?
No, no, it's not.
Does it come with a hooker?
No. Oh, it's pretty big. It probably will.
But yeah, wait, it's a box that holds your tools, though, right?
Yeah, it's a toolbox that holds my tools.
Wow.
$18,000.
Yeah, they could get out there.
Oh, you think? But what is it about it, do you think, that makes it worth $18,000? Like, what's going on this toolbox that we can't comprehend right now?
Well, I mean, mainly it probably just paid for the brand. But, yeah, it's a pretty big box. I mean...
Oh, it's a big box.
It's big.
You know, I can get a couple sheets of plywood, and I can build you a big box, too, for, like, $93.
If you'll pay him $18,000, he'll make
you
one.
I will make you the most beautiful big box you've ever seen in your life. And I will drill a hole in the side of that box, and I'll take care of you afterwards.
Money wasters! Money wasters! Money wasters! Stupid, expensive things are going to happen!
Cha-ching! Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program and actress Lake Bell from Children's Hospital. She's so good on that show and How to Make It in America. That's all coming up. This is the about once a year we have this conversation where I try to defend my girlfriend Bjork and you guys make fun of her for being crazy.
Well, she is crazy. I mean, you won't even debate that, right?
All right, maybe she's a little
bit crazy. She's crazy, but
isn't that what makes her interesting though?
It can go both ways. It either makes a person interesting or horrible.
Like, it's really, she's just too far out there now to the point where she's so far removed from anything that you used to enjoy that you can't even like her records.
It's not even music. She's got a new album. Is it out now?
Came out last Tuesday. It's called Biophilia. It is her latest, and it was partially recorded on an iPad, by the way. And then she even went the next step and decided that she was going to make her own Bjork Biophilia app, where every song has its own app, basically within the app. And some of them are games, as I understand. Some of them are cartoons. Some of them are interactive.
What's happening with
the music? I don't know.
This song is from Biophilia that we have, right?
Yes.
Right. Defend that. You tell me that this is good.
Here's
my favorite part.
What the hell?
It kind of sounds like the music's running backwards, doesn't it?
Yes,
like she's singing over backwards masking or something.
That's crazy.
Well, we wanted to find out more about the new album and about the new app, which, by the way, can be yours for a very reasonable $10.
What? Have you ever spent $10 on an app?
Not many, that's for sure. Bjork is on the phone joining us apparently from the forest in Iceland. Hi, Bjork.
Hello, how are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you from the forest of all the love and crystalline visions that come through the stars. Starlight through trees and their saplings that you'll never recover from when the fairies dance upon them.
Is that song that we played, was that the finished version?
Yes.
It was done.
A beautiful song that is about the love story between a virus and a cell.
What does that even mean, Bjork?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so are drugs involved in your creative process at all anymore?
No, only the true love of the bear and the elk that must always come together upon cloudburst on a rainy day when the sun breaks through and the mist is blinding.
Does it bother you that no one can understand what you're saying? I mean, we hear the words.
But if you had my app, it would help you understand, I think.
Okay, tell me about the app.
Yeah,
$10 app.
The app is magical, like teaching someone to dance through an email and bringing all the life together in one force through electrons through the sky of murky molasses.
Okay, but why can't you just put out a song that we like so much that we listen to it and go, hey, that's a good song? Why do we have to also interact with a cartoon on my computer to hear your record?
Because the activities of the viral instrumentation that comes through the screen, through your eyes, and is processed by the soul helps you enhance the visual and audio of all the fairies dancing upon with their wings beating, making starlight for everyone who wants to go see the vision of the Waina.
I got about a third into that. About a third, and I bailed.
Bjork, does anyone listen to or buy or play your records anymore? It seems like you're just kind of releasing them in a vacuum a little bit lately.
Everyone loves my music. And
oh, they do?
It is the music that is shared with all the people through the world, whether you speak the language or do not, is a language of the soul, of the soul of the feet that comes up from the ground through the sky into the wilderness, and everyone looks up into the sun with their eyes are bright and shining and close them to see the colors that are inside your mind.
Well, when you explain it that way, I'm 100% on board.
Look, just give me the $10, all right?
Yeah, all right.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 7:54.
Why are they occupying Long Beach? We don't know the answer to that question yet, right? It's not Wall Street, is what I'm saying.
They don't, who will?
But I'm just saying, well, I guess I'll save it for after the top of the hour then. Because Occupy Long Beach apparently is pissed off at the same things the people that Occupy Wall Street are. But the Wall Street people are there where people are making decisions that affect the problem that they're protesting against. What does Long Beach have to do with it?
I don't know, but I hope you ask it that well.
Oh, my head just exploded.
I'll try. Right now, Ralph joins us for the, hey, where's, give me some Ralph Showbiz music, would you?
Ralph Showbiz B, Ralph Showbiz B, Ralph Showbiz B.
Very nice.
Why does he give up so quickly now with these new ones? He used to go on and on and on.
Here's
and
what happened. Is he would go on and on and on.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
I hated them.
The longer they were, the funnier they were to me.
So then Bean would play, a couple of days ago, he played highlights of a whole bunch of them that he had done, but only the first line. And I was like, 8 seconds doesn't bother me. So now he's in there making one for every single thing. 8 seconds didn't bother you.
I
said
like
it.
The full lengthy versions.
Yeah, he can send those to you at home.
That's funny. Where's the real Halloween spooks? By the way, we are knee deep in October.
We hit it on Monday and Tuesday. You were out, but we did hit it. We are keeping it alive. But you're right. We still have it yet to come for today's show. We definitely have to hit it today.
Or not.
Just saying. Not it now. When?
By the way, I'm out next week.
Never.
Ralph. I'm depending on you to keep Halloween Spooks alive as we get even closer to Halloween, because you know the monkey over there will put the kibosh on it.
I will pick up the mantle, sir.
Okay, good.
To the best of my ability. Showbiz news today. This is a cool story. Jon Bon Jovi has done a nice thing. He started a restaurant called the Soul Kitchen.
Okay.
And it is basically providing quality meals to the hungry, to the poor and hungry. But he said he never wanted them to feel like they were in a soup kitchen. If you ever go to any of these food places, I mean, they do a wonderful job. You go in there and they got the long sort of cafeteria tables, and you got to get your tray up there, and they scoop the slop out and they put it on your thing.
Sort of like prison.
Yeah, it's not the most humane or comfortable situation to be getting food in, and it is sort of demeaning because you can absolutely tell you're in a charity function, which is just to crank it out. So he has started this restaurant called the Soul Kitchen, which is pay what you can.
Interesting.
So if you're a hungry person who's down on your luck, you go in there and maybe you can give a buck or two towards your meal. They serve you your meal and then they leave an envelope on the table and you just pay what you can in that restaurant. You put that money in that envelope.
Now, that's a recipe for bankruptcy.
Now, if you can't pay, you can also volunteer to do work at the restaurant as a way to work off your meal. And they said it's their chance to give back to the community in New Jersey where the restaurant is opening. And they're hoping other people will come to the restaurant. And if you can pay a little bit more, maybe you put a little bit more in the envelope as sort of a donation to help to keep the place running. So it's a social experiment, absolutely. But I think it's sort of a cool way to do something nice for the community.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's a recipe for bankruptcy. Way to poop all over the guy's dream. Trying to do one nice thing for people. And you got to go in there and cut his legs out from under him. Love a bad name.
Oh, wow.
That's what I think about you, Bean.
Wow. Wow. Did I walk into that? Let's save this tape, and then when Ralph is reporting that the soup kitchen has closed in 3 months, we'll know why.
How about this?
Bean's an asshole.
That's true. You know, I love memorabilia. I love the collectibles. I love the auctions where things go for a lot of money. The oddest bit of Beatles memorabilia ever may be going up for auction on November the 5th in England. One of John Lennon's teeth is up on the auction block.
You can own a piece of a Beatle.
Yes, you can own a Lennon tooth.
Oh.
His molar came out in the late 60s, and he gave it to his housekeeper to dispose of.
Why didn't she?
Well, he said, you know, I know your daughter's a big Beatles fan. That would make quite a souvenir. If you wanted to give it to your daughter, I'd be okay with that. So the housekeeper gave it to her daughter, who's held onto it for all these years, and she is putting it up for auction on November the 5th. You can bid via the internet if you want to own Lennon's tooth.
Nope.
Dude.
What's your...
Little cloning. Get yourself your own Lennon. Be pretty cool.
There you go.
Nope.
Take out that Yoko Ono gene, whatever failed gene you had there. You can make a better Lennon. That's all I'm saying.
As a memorabilia collector, Ralph, would you want to own, say, Adam West's teeth?
No, that would be very creepy.
Yeah, the tooth is creepy to me.
Although, you know, Adam West has one of his molars has the bat symbol etched into his tooth.
No way.
Yeah, he does.
Did you see that when you're making out?
How dare you, sir? I'd take that one. Yeah, I'd take that tooth.
That'd be cool.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Apparently his dentist did it as a joke.
Did he not know it?
No.
That's awesome.
He gave him a mirror and said, take a look at what I just did. Look,
that's
right there.
That's the best dentist ever.
Etched the bat symbol onto his tooth.
I love that.
That was pretty cool. And surprise, surprise, Evanescence has the number one album in America.
Yeah, what's up with that, by the way?
How about that? Debuts at number one this week. Self-titled album, Evanescence, featuring Amy Lee, of course, as the band's lead singer. Sold 127,000 copies for the week.
That's shocking.
That is shocking. Adele's number two on that list with her album 21. Five Finger Death Punch in its debut with American Capitalist is third on the best-selling list. Scotty McCreery.
Who's that?
He was the American Idol kid. He's got the fourth album.
His album debuted at number one the week before, by the way, which was a shock to a lot of people. Because the Idol albums have not been selling all that well in recent years.
Lauren Elena, who was second place on American Idol, she's got the fifth best-selling album in America. Then Tony Bennett's duets, Ryan Adams, Lady Antebellum, Lil Wayne, and Martina McBride. It's quite a cornucopia of different music styles.
That is weird.
In that top ten right there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Petty, 61 years old today. Danny Boyle celebrates his 55th birthday. Viggo Mortensen is 53. Snoop Dogg!
Judge. Preach. Tabernacle. Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
It's crack-a-lackin', all right.
It does keep it crack-a-lackin'.
See how they come at black people?
Larry's the hippest octogenarian in the world, isn't he? Snoop Dogg's 40 years old today. John Krasinski of The Office is 32. And Victoria's Secret model. And just a boxed lunch this girl is.
Yep.
Candace Swanepoel is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow, Friday's all-new Kevin and Bean show, how about our friend Tim Armstrong from the band Rancid joining us in studio? How about that?
Yeah. Love it. Always great.
Also, Joe Levy, the editor of Maxim magazine, will be on talking about the new November issue just on newsstands this week. Cousin Sal has NFL picks for you. LaQuisha is going to be taking a look at tonight's Jersey Shore season finale. Friday also means the movie beat. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about this Occupy Wall Street thing. This is Kevin speaking, and I don't follow the news because it's boring. I got to be honest. I don't have the attention span to watch the news, and it's all negative. I don't need it. But
hold on a second. I hate to interrupt. Somebody write that down so when Kevin is having his statue placed on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. after his death, a commemoration statue, that can be one of the quotes that they put up above the statue of him is, I don't watch the news because it's boring.
I'm guessing I'm not going to get a statue anywhere, B.
All right. So Occupy Wall Street has been going on for a couple of months in New York City, and it came out of the frustration that regular Americans, as they describe themselves, have with the way the corporate influences in government, how it never seems like the government gets anything done, how they keep making all these economic policies that are failing, how the unemployment is through the roof. I mean, there's a long, long list of complaints that people have. And what's been fascinating about this movement, Kevin, is that there's no leader, and they have lots of different complaints. It started in New York. Next weekend after that, maybe it's in Boston. The weekend after that, it's in Minnesota. Then it's in Los Angeles. Then all of a sudden, it's jumping the borders. It's in Mexico. It's in Europe. It's everywhere. It's worldwide now, and it doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. In fact, we've talked about it a couple times on this show, and I've been hearing from some people who are down there at Occupy Long Beach. Heather was kind enough to email us. We got back to her and asked if she'd like to come on the show, and she said yes. So we welcome her to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Why do you sound scared of us?
Thanks for playing Sublime playing Sublime for me in there, Long Beach local band.
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, it's so rare for us to play Sublime, too. I'm glad you happened to be listening the day we did.
Now, yesterday
I can't believe it wasn't Red Hot Chili Peppers, honestly.
Yesterday we had Kevin Smith in, and he was talking about Occupy Wall Street. And I said, you know, because they're there for months. So I was like, what is it, just homeless people? And Heather wrote me an email saying that she's a part of Occupy Long Beach and that everyone has a full-time job.
I don't think I said everyone.
I believe you did. I think the words were we all have full-time jobs.
Now, look, we haven't Kevin and I have not been down there in person. How many people are at the Occupy Long Beach, and where are you guys set up?
We are at Lincoln Park, which is in downtown Long Beach. It's on the Civic Center block where our city hall is, you know, where our Chamber of Commerce and all that stuff is going on.
And you're occupying the park.
And there's a small park there, and we're occupying that.
How many
people?
Until 10 o'clock at night, and then we got to move to the sidewalk.
Oh, interesting. Okay. How many folks are down there on average?
I'd say about 50 people a night are spending the night. And
wow. And what do you do? Do you have signs, or you sing songs, or chant, or try to get people to sign petitions? I mean, what are you doing down there?
He's not trying to be funny. We really want to know.
No, I know. Okay. It's so far, no petitions.
Okay, good.
No drum circles, but there is music. Every night at 6 o'clock, we have a general assembly.
Okay.
And we meet and talk about, well, there's a lot of organizing of just having the occupation, you know, the logistics of being there and what we need. And
we don't have any entertainment. Make sure we don't have any... Any statements, any demands?
It's not really an occupation as much as it is just squatting in the park, right?
No, because every night we meet and we talk about things that we want to do. I mean, we're only in our fifth day of occupation. We put our group together 2 weeks ago. We grow every day. We get new people every day. And we've just started working on, you know, now we're starting to plan things that we'd like to do to go out into the community and make demonstrations, you know,
okay.
Ask for things.
Got it. One of the curious things, as I mentioned when we brought you on, Heather, and we are talking to Heather from Occupy Long Beach here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, was that there doesn't seem to be a leader. And unlike, you know, say, the civil rights movement, where you could look at a concrete list of 1, 2, 3, here's the things that we want to have changed in this country, it seems so much vaguer than that I worry sometimes that you're not putting any specific pressure on somebody to do something if you have good ideas of what could make everybody's situation better.
I know a lot of people are frustrated. It's going to happen. Change doesn't happen overnight. I think the most important thing was to get attention and, you know, wake people up. And so we are just now starting to get that. You know, I think once we can get attention, we can start focusing on some real things that we'd like to see.
But here's what happens with most protests is that people have in mind what they want to accomplish and then they go demonstrate. So you guys go demonstrate first, and now you're going to try and figure out what you want?
Well, it's, you know, the goal right now is just because we, you know, we are the 99% and our voices are never heard. You know, mm-hmm. The ruling class makes all the decision based on their own self-interest. They don't really seem to care about the society at large. And so it's complicated. We all have a lot of different agendas. You know, we all have different things that are close to us.
Right. So, all right. Let me ask you this, Heather. Let's say you're queen. Let's say God comes down and touches the tip of your fingers and says, you're queen. We're going to give you the opportunity to change one thing about the way the government or business is run in the United States. What's the one change you make happen?
Can I answer that?
Sure.
She has no idea. She doesn't know.
No, Heather might have something.
They're going to figure it out.
Heather might have something. Let's hear it.
I have a response.
Okay.
I mean, for me personally, I would like the government to be representative of the working class and the 99% of us. If you look at the government right now, they look like the 1%. They hobnob with the 1%. They eat at the same restaurants with the 1%. I mean,
okay, but don't we? But don't we have a democratic system where you go and decide who you're going to send to Congress to represent you every 2 to 6 years? I mean, doesn't that already happen? And if you don't like the guy that or girl that's in there, you vote them out and try somebody else.
Right. Understandable. But we do all that. But what's going on is this 1% that has all the wealth, vast amounts of wealth, are, you know, they're controlling everything.
Okay.
Well, you need to find a candidate and run that person and have that person win so they can affect your change representing you then.
I think it's going to take more than one candidate, but I know what you're saying. I mean, these things, and it might start happening, and just because there's an Occupy now in every single major city in the country. Mm-hmm. And so it might start small. It might start, like, making changes within Long Beach, for instance.
No justice, no peace. We want things that are better than now.
You know, the Tea Party did exactly what we're talking about, Heather, is they found candidates and run them, and several of those people are already in Congress now. So, I mean, that's kind of the working within the system sometimes is a little bit more effective. All right, let me ask you one more question.
You guys should nominate Snoop. He's
got a lot of money. We're working poor people. People have a lot of money.
Let me ask you this question then, Heather, because I heard what your suggestion would be. If God comes to me, touches me, I get the thing, it's free Oreos. Now who do you like? If my plan to change this country is free Oreos, who wins?
Well, you might have a point there. Yeah.
So what do you want in our remaining moments here, Heather? And you're very kind to come on. And these are sincere questions. We're not mocking you. Look, anyone who's going to take time out of their day to try to make things better, I've got no problem with. I wish you nothing but success.
I really do question her full-time job status.
Do you have a full-time job, Heather?
I do. I'm at work right now.
Is it in the park?
And working hard too, we can tell. What do you want our listeners to do if they want to get involved?
Well, they can visit our page. They can visit Occupy Together, which will show them, you know, any Occupy that's near them. They can come down to Occupy Long Beach. We have meetings every night at 6 o'clock, Lincoln Park. Get involved, talk to us, express your opinion. You know, meet us. The reason I wrote to Kevin was because I feel like we're being misrepresented constantly, you know, being called hippies and hipsters, jobless and homeless.
I did say most of them are homeless because we were talking about them being there for months around the clock. And that, to me, says no job.
It's not necessarily the same person that's there. You know, people are taking shifts.
All right. I got
you. Right, right. All right. Do you feel that this conversation has been fair? Are you happy with the information that you've gotten out, Heather?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, fantastic. All right. Well, listen.
I think the discussion has just begun.
I agree.
I think it would be better if you figured out where you wanted the discussion to go. But okay.
Keep in touch with us, Heather. Let us know how it's going down there, okay?
All right. Thanks for the time. I'm a big, long fan.
Okay. You bet. Bye-bye now.
Bye. It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Dr. Drew coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, how about a brand new and maybe the biggest ever Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
You can see all of these videos at kevinandbean.com. And that is, I don't know, we have like 500 of them today. So you're going to have to spend some time going through them.
What about Boo, the cutest dog in the world?
Nope.
Boo, the cutest dog in the world's in the Internet Roundup.
The dog's ugly. B, a
he's the cutest dog in the world. That's all you need to know about today's Internet Roundup. But we do have some other videos, too.
We do. We have the Simpsons renewal promo. This is what they came out with after they settled their big problem over pay and that they were going to continue with two more seasons.
They'll never stop the Simpsons. Have no fears. We've got stories for years. Lots more, 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 more. We don't care if we've done it before.
Love that.
It's so funny. They took lots of different episodes from the past and edited together an all-new promo to promote that they were going to be around for two more seasons. It's really well done.
Now, Herman Cain sings Imagine There's No Pizza. Give me some. Tell me. Explain what, huh?
Well, I don't know the specifics somebody does of this video, but I can only assume it had to do with making a commercial for Godfather's Pizza. I mean, he's the king of Godfather's Pizza. He's now running for president as a Republican right now, and this video has unearthed. And just think, as you listen to him singing this song, that one day this man could be our commander-in-chief.
Imagine there's no pizza. I couldn't if I tried.
Come on. I want our commander-in-chief to be singing about pizza.
It's pretty old. I just can't figure out what the context is. Like, he's obviously in front of an audience and they're laughing. I don't know, but it's worth checking out.
Maybe it was like a company meeting or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
tell us who Harry Belafonte is.
He is a civil rights activist mostly now, but over the years, he's been a very successful actor and recording artist. And he always is one of those guys. He's super liberal. They always trot him out to talk about apartheid or to talk about racism or something like that. And, you know, he often gets asked to come in and be on TV shows to discuss.
Now, he doesn't come in to this particular TV show. They have him on a satellite feed. So he's sitting in a room someplace. And when they go to him,
He is asleep. This is awesome because this poor woman is trying to get his attention, and then they try to tap dance around, you know, what was going on, try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's literally just asleep.
Hey, good morning, Harry. Harry, wake up. Harry?
Yeah?
Yes, wake up, wake up.
I can't hear anything.
Okay. This is your wake-up call, Harry.
There's nothing.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Whoa.
We are going. He's meditating. He's having he's taking a little nap.
Yeah, he's taking a little nap.
The poor guy, I mean, look, if you're lucky enough to have grandparents, you know that they sometimes just doze off. And that's what, I mean, Harry is just leaning back in his chair with his mouth open, just sound asleep, doesn't hear any of that.
He doesn't look attractive. Some people look worse than others when they're sleeping. He does not look good.
I thought he was dead at first. It was actually almost very sad for a minute.
This is awesome. I don't know if you've seen it. Mountain biker gets taken out by a buck.
Oh, my God.
They're having a race on bicycles in Africa. And a giant deer comes running across and literally just demolishes him. And I don't know if you've ever had the breath knocked out of you this hard. But not only can you not breathe in, all you can do is moan out. That's the only thing that you're able to do.
Whoa! Holy cow! Hold on.
You have to see this video. It's so random and so shocking. It's just a guy on a bicycle on a road, and out of the side of the frame comes this enormous deer with these giant antlers that just mows him down and keeps on running.
It's not an
crazy
accident either. It's an attack.
It's crazy.
This is bad lip reading. I'm not positive. They have a bunch of these, but basically what they do is they take the audio out. For example, this is Barack Obama giving a speech.
It would have meant higher borrowing costs, higher prices, and put millions more jobs in jeopardy.
All right, that makes sense. You watch him say that, you hear it, it makes sense. So they take the audio out, and then they just try to lip read. And I'm telling you, it makes as much sense. When you watch it, his mouth makes the exact same motion, so it sounds like this is what he's saying.
Go to hell, you say. Bitch, just zip it. This was so hot. 'Cause even long-legged women can't tell there's a blue-eyed hobbit, and I'm a witness for them. We've been out of brownies, rice, and we miss pork chops in the summer.
Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you go to it and you watch it, it makes perfect sense. You'll go, oh my God, that's exactly what he's saying.
I'd hate to be a lip reader trying to follow the news, I'll tell you that.
William Shatner has come out with a video for Bohemian Rhapsody. And all I got to tell you is you better smoke out before you watch it. Because you'll feel like you did if you didn't, and it's very important that you do. Whoop, sorry.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo,
Galileo,
Galileo.
It's one of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen.
His face is up there in space with his mouth moving from the stars. It's crazy. I mean, it really does look like it's drug-fueled. And I love his version of Bohemian Rhapsody from his new album. I love it.
The Walking Dead is the next video that we have up. It's, I don't know, Ralph was very disappointed in us for not coming up with this, but The Walking Dead is the name of the TV show. This is The Walking Dead, Christopher Walken, and it's a whole parody commercial.
No one knows where they came from. No one knows why they're here.
Wow.
But they only want one thing.
I got a fever. The only prescription is more cowbell.
Coming to TV this fall.
Whoa.
They say it's a virus. It destroys every part of your brain except for basic motor functions. And also the part that stores Christopher Walken quotes.
You're a cantaloupe.
And he's done some weird-ass movies.
Yes, he has.
And finally, for right now, there are a bunch more up there, but including...
Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
Oh, man, F you for that so much. This is a girl that sets fire to her own crotch.
Well, she sure does. Or as Dave put in the email, her crouch. Sets fire to her crouch.
And the guy that is videotaping clearly doesn't know her, so it's not horrific to him. But he goes crazy. It's the weirdest thing he's ever seen.
Oh, you're fired! Oh, stop jumping, Ross! Stop jumping! Oh, my God!
She's a street performer, and she's twirling sticks that are on fire, and one of them hits her in the crotch and sets herself on fire. And she doesn't know it at first. And
yeah.
She's continuing to do her thing, and then she just runs out and tries to put the fire out. But it's crazy.
It is awesome. And that guy is both horrified. Don't jump up and down. And he can't believe how great it is. Yes, he's shouting as he's laughing. You can see all of these and a bunch more at Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
About 5 or 6 minutes every week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we somehow get respectable because Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us here on the phone. Of course, the host of Loveline, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, and Life Changers on the CW, and his HLN show that airs 6 o'clock on the West Coast. Hey, Doctor, how are you, man?
Good morning. I think you guys are pretty respectable, despite the fact that Kevin never watches the news. It's all right.
Hey, the news is boring, though. Remember that, Dr. Drew.
Those are words that will be immortalized.
The news is boring.
Immortalized words, I argue that.
Dr. Drew, we have many things, as always, we want to discuss, but Dave, the King of Mexico, right before you came on the air, he said, I tuned into Dr. Drew's CW show yesterday, and he was talking about black love. What is black love? What's that about?
Well, funny, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, but there's a matchmaker, an African American matchmaker now named Paul Carrick Brunson, and he specializes in the African American community, and I have been just fascinated by some of the problems he has uncovered. For instance, this is all well documented. In fact, there's a book written by a Stanford law professor called "Is Marriage for White People?" And I recommend it. It's a really good book. And what it is documenting is that African-American women are now becoming exceedingly successful. They're all going to, you know, high-level education. And they've sort of left their many of their African-American male compatriots behind. And the men are feeling diminished by the women. The women are feeling left out because the men are either not dating them because they feel sort of intimidated by their academic prowess, or dating Caucasian and white people. And so there's this tremendous, tremendous sort of acrimony in that community. And so we sort of let it boil over, and it was very interesting. We did like 3 shows like this.
Was that a surprise? Was that a surprise for you?
What's that?
Was that a surprise for you? Because
it was a surprise. The whole story was a surprise for me. And the sadness that it's sort of bringing to both the men and the women.
It is. It's something that seems like Madea could fix, though, if she wanted to, right?
Of course.
Not a real person. I mean, isn't that how all problems in the community are fixed?
Wow, you guys.
We have our finger on the pulse, Dr. Drew.
Let's talk about your girlfriend, Lindsay Lohan, who we should mention you are not treating or advising. But if you were, would she be behaving the way she is these days, doctor?
Who knows? You know, I don't have all 100% success with patients, but I would hope not. And my fear is I'm back. You know, she was doing really kind of well there for a little while, and now I think we're back to seeing a young lady die. And, you know, friends of mine that are addicts that have, you know, laid eyes on her get very, very frightened that this is somebody who's in big, big trouble.
Ralph and I were just transfixed by the trial yesterday on TMZ. We were watching as the judge, really, who's had an ass full of her.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that judge is just angry.
She's done. The judge started having some really interesting things to say about the political situation. And, in fact, Doc aired the little piece that she sort of went off about how she can't send anybody to jail anymore because nobody stays in jail.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, which to me was stunning. That was really interesting.
But she did take what did she? She revoked her probation.
Probation. Yes, what I'm hearing is that because they really can't keep, because jail doesn't mean anything, there is sort of a nasty kind of probation, which is serving 8 hours a day at the morgue. And my sources over at HLN tell me that's what she's in for. And I don't see where that enhances her recovery, frankly. But
I don't think that's what the judge wants. The judge just wants her to pay, I think.
I guess. I talked to one of the original prosecutors, Danette, I'm blanking her last name right now, and she was saying that the big mistake was moving her down from a felony to a misdemeanor. If they had a felony, they could really put some teeth in this, but they don't anymore.
Mm. Dr. Drew, I may be asking you to speculate, so just say what you can, but do you think drugs and or alcohol are a factor in Lindsay's behavior anymore? Because I don't see a lot of those stories like we used to of her stumbling out of clubs at 3 a.m. drunk.
Bean, are you high?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes.
I mean, of course, whenever you see somebody with addiction, anything weird happens. They lose weight. They don't seem themselves. They start behaving strangely. Of course, it's always their back using. And I actually got some sort of angry voicemails from Michael Lohan last night that he was, I think what he was saying, I only got a sort of a transcript of his voicemail, that he's very, we're very, 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 very worried. And this is sort of an emergency, that if something doesn't happen, this is going to be a really, and I agree with him. It's a sad, sad situation. We may all be watching somebody die. Mm.
Are you so busy that you have people who transcribe your voicemail messages so that you can read them later?
There's a, I don't have time to answer my phone. There's a server. Really, we're going to have this conversation?
Yes. I'm fascinated by that.
There's a service, it's not expensive, that will transcribe your voicemails and send you an email.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
I love that. All right, let me ask you one more thing on the Lindsay deal, Dr. Yeah. Drew, and that is, a lot of people thought it was overkill when Britney Spears got a conservator, and I guess it was her father who ended up like being right on top of, no yes. sexual innuendo intended at all, right on top of her and really just managing her like she was a six-year-old.
Yeah.
And he, for better or worse, turned her around, and she hasn't had one day's trouble since then. Is that what Lindsay needs, is somebody to just be an overseer full-time?
I for sure can tell you that Britney Spears is alive today because of the conservatorship by her parents. Wow. But you should be aware that that's rare. It's really rare that somebody is able to get a conservatorship. It's rare that they're able to do anything with that conservatorship. I mean, it's a route I've rarely been down because you just can't get it.
But at least both of Lindsay's parents would do a good... Oh, wait.
Well, there are professional conservators out there you could hire as well, but it tends not to go that well. It really doesn't. And then, you know, I just hope we all got to, you know, pray for Lindsay, really. That's about all we can do, and hope that she kind of wakes up and wants to get sober. But I don't know what it's going to take. And my wish was that the legal consequences, many of my patients, even like Bob Forrest, found sobriety in jail. You know what I mean? Many people, when they lose their freedom, it kind of gets through to them. And that seemed like what was getting through to Lindsay at one point, and now she's slipped back. And this is really a very, guys, this is a, I mean, let's remind ourselves of the people we've seen die of addiction in the last 5-10 years. You know, back to Ann Nicole Smith and Michael Jackson. I mean, these are sad situations, and we should be treating it accordingly.
Am I a bad person? Because all I could think during the trial was, who did her makeup? Like, I never thought I'd say that sentence, but... Yeah, she looked like a clown.
And people are speculating that she had bruises on her face and whatnot. And and so what? If she's using it, gets bruises. That's unusual. But and also, by the way, people when they're using don't have good judgment and may not see the way they look to other people. And that so all this is just, you know, a sad indictment of what's going on. We can only, again, there's only one thing of us can do, I guess, and hopefully the legal system can do something.
Yeah, Dr. Drew is not only hunky, he's the smartest man in the world. Catch him 5 nights a week on Loveline. Catch him 5 nights a week on HLN at 6 o'clock, and then look for him every afternoon at 3 on the CW. Drew, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
So you guys want me to sit out the Lake Bell interview?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
just
God, don't even, yes.
Just
oh,
turn off Lord, my mic. Yes. Just listen. Yes. Just enjoy what you guys have to say to her.
I just heard a glitch. That's odd. That's weird.
We're having some technical problems.
I'm here. Hey, guys. Why can't you hear me?
Transformers going out.
She's, of course, on Children's Hospital and this new How to America, this HBO.
Oh, no, he's cutting in and out. That's bad.
Oh, come on.
We have to call engineering. This could be a problem.
Get away from me. Now you're trying to take Lake 2?
Oh,
sorry.
All right. Shame.
That's coming up after the top of the hour here at the Kevin DeBede Show. Now time for... Here's Ralph.
That's a lake I'd like to swim in. I'm being.
It doesn't help.
What are you wearing?
It doesn't help.
You get along in America with those.
It doesn't help that How to Make It in America, I think it was the last episode. I'm not positive. She's just nude and great.
She's getting out of bed and she's just in her underwear. That's how people sleep.
She looks good.
It was just realistic, that's all.
Agreed.
That's a bell I'd like to ring. I'm Bean.
I can hear you guys. You know that, right? I'm right here.
We hope you can. Stop making that noise.
Lindsay Lohan!
Jesus.
I don't know. I don't know about the bell.
I guess it depends on where and when you catch
her. A couple
some
of
days,
mugshots
yes.
ago, I think, maybe the bell. This morning, someone did a gallery of her 5 mugshots, so you can see how she has sort of degenerated over the years.
It is shocking that she's how old now, Ralph? She's like 25 or something?
25, I think.
I mean, in a lot of photos, she does look 40.
Yeah. Yeah, rough. A rough 40.
I got to stop talking to Dr. Drew. I found this funny before he was telling us how sad it is.
Oh, boo-hoo, sympathy, she's going to die. Whatever.
Well, I don't want her to die.
Thin the herd, people. Thin the herd. Darwin at work.
Oh, it's sad.
She yesterday got a legal spanking by Judge Stephanie Sautner.
Spanking.
The judge was not pleased with her lackadaisical attitude towards her community service. Six months ago, she was sentenced to 360 hours at the Downtown Women's Center here in Los Angeles.
But at least she was smart enough not to roll her eyes and, you know, that kind of...
jotting down furious notes to give to her lawyer, like she was defending herself, like she was a CSI. Rolling her eyes, sighing, talking under her breath. The judges were like, hey, you, shut up.
I want you to answer my question.
It was like, and the lawyer, too, is like, look, she has to support her whole family, and her work takes her out of the country, and that's why she had to be gone.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, I wish Judge Judy had been in that courtroom. Anyway, they rescinded her probation. They revoked it.
So you get Zippo, nada.
So the deputies had to slap her in cuffs and send her briefly back to jail before her bail bondsman, who must just be constantly on duty. They just must have a personal bail bondsman who just lives in her trunk. She's ready to hop out any moment with a check just to get her out. They bailed her out. She had 50 grand bail for each of her two charges, the 2007 DUI charge and the 2011 jewelry theft case. And then there will be another hearing on November the 2nd, which will be an official review of her probation to see whether she in fact violated or not.
Not interested, sir.
This was just a progress hearing, and the judge believed she wasn't making sufficient progress.
And by sufficient, you mean pretty much any.
Pretty much any, yeah. The fact that the Downtown Women's Center, which I can imagine needs the help, could use a hand down there, said, you know what, don't even bother coming back. Go someplace else.
Yeah. For paparazzi alone, it wouldn't be worth having her down there.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but it doesn't look like she's working too hard to take care of her legal issues. If I had 360... if I got the gift of 360 hours of community service probation versus going to jail, I would spend 36 days, 10 hours a day, just knocking it out of the park.
You'd do it all right away.
Get it right. All out of the way, first of all, and also to show that I am America's best citizen. Don't ever please send me back to jail.
Yep.
I wouldn't be jetting off to Milan.
That's where the work is, man.
And if work is throwing glasses at people at parties, then maybe that is where her job lies. Just tragic news. Let me give you some good news. Looks like our girlfriend Judy Greer,
yeah,
is getting her own comedy series at ABC. Of course, we love her. Recently on 2.5 Men, Judy Greer, they're working on developing her own half-hour sitcom over on ABC.
Yeah, there it is.
Well deserved. I love Judy, and I'm looking forward to seeing that show. And I'm just saying, if there's any roles, that, you know, the people, you know, they haven't cast all the roles yet. Just saying.
Bring Bobby back from your house appearance. Maybe make him a regular on the new Judy Greer show.
I think
may be too much.
I think they got the rights to Bobby locked up over there at Fox. With
it's Bobby!
Officer Gruden, though, maybe could stop by.
When Judy was in a couple of weeks ago, we didn't get a chance to talk about this much on the air, but Kevin was such a huge fan of her blaxploitation films back in the 70s that he was really excited to meet her when she stopped by.
Hey, Foxy Brown, remember how much he kept talking about Foxy Brown when Tarantino made that movie? Too? I'm so glad she's working again, and Tarantino's given her career a
boost.
I'd like
to suggest that there's off-air stuff and there's on-air stuff.
Yeah. I F you not, people. Kevin thought it was Pam Grier. He really did.
Oh, yeah.
He really thought it was Pam Grier.
Kevin, God damn it.
He was so surprised when a skinny white chick walked to the studio. He was like, now I'm really confused.
You guys are making up stories. This is ugly.
Oh, that we were. Crystal Harris is the woman that broke Hugh Hefner's heart. Unacceptable.
Oh, that's right. That bitch. I forgot about her.
This is the girl who left him at the altar a week before they were supposed to get married. She called it off. Well, at least she made some money out of the deal. TMZ is reporting that she auctioned off her 3-carat diamond ring that Hef gave her for $47,500.
Wow. Why didn't she have to give it back since she's the one who called off the wedding?
This is my favorite part of this story, is that she auctioned it off for that amount. Now, keep in mind, Hef paid 90 grand for it less than a year ago. She sold it off at a discount at 47 and a half. Okay, Hef pays 90 grand for it.
Yeah.
She says she couldn't stand to look at it anymore. Couldn't stand to have the ring because the ring brought back so many bad memories.
Really?
If there only was some other way she could have gotten that ring off her finger other than selling it. Couldn't she have given it back to Hefner if it was such a burden on her to look at that ring, if it just broke her heart so much to look at that ring?
It would have hurt her a lot more to see him again, Ralph.
Put it in the mail. UPS.
Bitch got no class.
Yeah. She's bad. She's bad on every possible level. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Victoria's Secret model Candace Swanepoel.
Swanee, how I love ya, how I love ya.
She is 23 years old today. I always thought it was Swanepoel until I looked up pronunciation today, and it is Swanepoel.
It's troubling.
She's South African. Perhaps that's the reason behind the pronunciation, but she is 23 years old today. John Krasinski, which I always thought was Krasinski until I did some research, and it's Krasininininski. Hi, hi. I thought it was odd.
I don't think that's
He's 32 years old today. Snoop Dogg is 40.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
No, he's just 40. He's not here, actually, in the house. Viggo Mortensen is 53 years old today. Danny Boyle celebrates his 55th birthday. Great film director. And musician Tom Petty celebrates his 61st birthday today. He just keeps working and working and working and working, Tom Petty.
He's still awesome, by the way.
He is.
Kevin,
he's,
you probably hate Tom Petty. But
not a fan.
He really not. I think
consistently
he's great.
Just been great decade after decade. He never slows down. I love that dude.
His longevity really is impressive to me. He just won't back down. He just he just keeps on.
Ralph, please
working.
Don't do me like that. Come on.
We fire the jokes at you like an automatic weapon at comedy. We throw a curveball joke at you, hit you right in the head. You go, wow, what happened? We take you on a little trolley ride down Story Lane. You're having a good time, enjoying our little tale, think you know what's coming. Boom, left turn. You don't know how it happened. You don't know where you are, but you like it. You're yucking it up. You're laughing. Your sides are hurting. All of a sudden, you realize you're feeling something, too. When did that happen?
I like just it. Now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
There are always lots of reasons for you to go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. None more so than today. You can see a fantastic gallery of photos and video from the beautiful Lake Bell from How to Make It in America. By the way, thanks to the King of Mexico, who's acting producer this week, for hooking us
good
up
work.
With that Lake Bell interview.
Not
I,
my
work.
Fault.
No, I really enjoyed it, Dave.
Good,
that was
good
excellent
work, Dave.
Work. Also, we debuted a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you today, the biggest one we've ever done. Something like 20 new videos that are awesome that you should watch, including Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
No, so, that's the dumbest, worst Thank video ever.
It's not even a cute, good, cute animal video.
It's the cutest dog in the world.
It's not even a good, cute animal video, though.
In that category, it's bad.
It's like a static shot of them putting a shirt on the dog, and then he, like, chases a stuffed animal. It's like any dog would do the same things.
But not any dog is as cute as Boo, though, because Boo is, say it with me, the cutest dog in the world.
Just anyway, I'm posting a video where I set that dog on fire. That, then watch it run. Then watch it scamper.
Watch how cute it is.
Where it's a big ball of blue flame.
It's a little afro.
Oh, it'll be hilarious.
Here it is with no hair. You can see that video and all the others at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Okay, time for the showbiz beat. Now here's Ralph.
We have to do something for Wesley Warren. Wesley Warren Jr. Are you familiar with Wesley Warren Jr.'s
who's
trials
that?
And tribulations there in Las Vegas, Nevada?
No.
We have to have a bake sale or something. We got to do something for Wesley Warren.
Who is going on with him or her?
What's happening?
Wesley Warren Jr. has elephantiasis.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Hmm. How big are they, Ralph?
He has got 100-pound scrotum.
That was the name of my band in college. 100-pound scrotum.
100 pounds of scrotum.
Oh, wow. There's a video of that.
Yeah, there is. You can go to the Huffington Post today and find
it. Is it the cutest scrotum in the world?
No, it's not.
That's
they do,
not a
they
category.
Do put a shirt on it, and it does chase a ball around. Doctors have no idea why he got this. Usually people who get it are in Asian countries where there is a mosquito. There's a mosquito-borne virus that causes this. They tested him for that disease. He doesn't have that. They can't figure out why this swelling, this edema, has happened in his scrotum. But they have not been able to stop it with medication. And the doctors in Vegas said, you know what? You should go to UCLA here in California. You should have them look at you because we can't really help you.
Just go somewhere else?
And so he went there, and they said, yeah, we can operate, but your Nevada state medical care, whatever they got there, Nevacare or whatever, doesn't cover your operation in California, so you'd have to pay cash for the operation. $1 million it's going to cost him if he wants to get the situation corrected.
What?
The situation has elephantiasis too?
Gilligan, This dude hasn't been able to hold down a job for 2 years, as you can imagine, because he's lugging around 100 pounds of nuts.
But wouldn't AC/DC pay him a pretty penny to tour with them and come out on stage when they do big balls every night?
You standing by that? You happy with
that? Yes! It's perfect for him. Come on. That's a terrible story, Ralph. But I thought you were going to say it costs like 50 grand and we could try to help raise that money. But if it's $1 million, there's nothing anybody can do.
He needs our help more than ever if it's $1 million.
But we can't help him.
But why can't we?
Because it's $1 million.
And why is it so much? Isn't there a guy in a van who could do it a lot cheaper than that?
Yeah, I don't know if Van Doc is the guy you want working on your
VanDoc.com
on your sack. I don't think that's the route you want to go when you're dealing with that region of your anatomy. Lance a boil on my neck, but
no,
I don't.
You wouldn't even do that.
I wouldn't let him get his scalpel near my boys.
I'm going to start a new mobile physician service called VanDoc, and it's going to be a huge success. Thank you for that.
If you're if you have a heart, unlike Kevin and Bina, and you'd actually like to help donate to the cause, he has set up an email address for direct donations for Wesley Warren Jr. I'm not kidding about this email address. It is benefitballsack.
No spaces. This is a porn site. You're setting us up.
benefitballsack@yahoo.com. You can contact Wesley Warren Jr. there and see what you can do to help donate to the cause.
It can't be done.
I'm just thinking, when do you start to panic? 25 pounds? 30 pounds? 50 pounds? When you say, I need to see a specialist.
I panic at 2 pounds, don't you?
You panic at 2 ounces, really?
Come on, seriously. What's going on?
2 ounces. That's kindergarten, I was 2 ounces.
I was born that way.
I thought I might have had it there for a while when I reached my teens, but thank God they stopped.
Look at that guy.
Everything evened out.
Yeah, they stopped.
But, oh, man. Yeah,
I just can't stop feeling bad for Wesley Warren Jr. today.
That is amazing.
All right, let's talk about a little showbiz news. Is the marriage between Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries already over? Oh, please let it be so. Would that be the sweetest thing ever? Would you ever stop laughing at them after all of this hoopla, after this circus they put on, after the television specials, if it just all came crashing down around them?
That'd be pretty great.
It'd be awesome.
And she's already been married and divorced one time before.
Yeah. Rumor has it they are not getting along. She is living in New York to be away from him. And the most telltale detail of all is that Kim's agent has dropped Chris Humphries as a client.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That means that any reality show that the two would be starring in together, it looks like it wouldn't happen, because why would this agency drop him as a client? They would want to negotiate on behalf of both of them if it was going to be a series or something in the works, right?
Maybe she wanted to have a dedicated person for her. I can sort of see that, but...
But why would they pick him up as a client and then drop him unless there was trouble in paradise?
Then they're going to pick him up and drop him, pick him up and drop him.
Oh, God, please make it so. That would be the best thing ever.
How many weeks ago did they get married? Was it just like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
No, it was a while ago. The show was on a couple weeks ago, but they got married a while ago, so... That'd be awesome.
Be pretty good.
Man, no one's seen him together either. They're not even going the Ashton Kutcher Demi Moore route of trying to make a public appearance.
Yeah.
And keep appearances up. So we'll have to wait and see, but I sure hope so. That'd be awesome.
Lindsay Lohan!
Yesterday was in front of Judge Stephanie Sautner, and she was none too pleased with Ms. Lohan's progress when it came to her probation. Revoked the probation. Ordered her to jail immediately. She was only there briefly, though. She had a bail bondsman standing by to bail her out $100,000. It cost for the two counts, the one of the 2007 DUI and the other one for the theft charge. She has to go back into jail on November the 2nd, where there will be an official hearing to see whether she violated her probation or not. Yesterday's was just a progress hearing. The judge said she would have loved to send her to jail, but she said, seriously, what's the point? Does anyone do any jail time anymore, really, when you put them in?
You don't expect a judge to say that.
Yeah, she seemed pretty disheartened.
You know, I hate to give Kevin credit for bringing up a reasonable point off air this week, but he said, decade after decade, we still don't have enough jails. We're still sentencing people to jail, and they're still serving days on the month. At some point, we have to quit doing that and build more jails. If we decide we want to live in a society where we send people to jail, we've got to build someplace for them to go.
Where do you think we could find a workforce for that, Bean?
Well, it's not a workforce that's the problem. It's the funds. It's raising the money to pay for the construction and the staffing of these facilities. The state doesn't have the money. That's the reason they are bouncing people out of the jails that they have, because they are on the borderline bankrupt.
And they can't afford to hire more people, more right? guards.
And they certainly can't afford to buy more property and build more prisons. It's a financial issue, not so much of a space issue.
Well, maybe they just they force everyone to move out of Fresno and move the prisoners into their homes. They don't have to build anything new. Just lock them down. Put a big bubble over it or something.
I like it.
That sounds workable.
Maybe we just...
we'll build one of those cheap bubbles.
We'll build one of those big citywide bubbles.
City bubbles that are so popular now.
That'll be cheaper than building more prisons. We'll just put up a giant plexiglass bubble over
I'm
a city.
Going on the fly here. Come on.
What are you, Lex Luthor? whose plan is that?
That is amazing.
It's not completely hammered out.
Brainiac, you're going to encapsulate a city with a glass bubble?
Let's city move out first.
And then you bring in the bubble. You construct a giant plexiglass bubble to put on top of it.
Let's just do that is what I'm saying.
Let's just do that.
I'm down with that.
Holy crap.
I'm with Dean. That's a good plan, and I think it's workable.
I say we just move them all inside Wesley Warren's scrotum.
Apparently there's lots of room in there.
There you go.
Just move some of the patients or
100 pounds, you
there.
Said.
I did say that, sir. I did say 100 pounds.
The Beatles, John Lennon. John is no longer with us, but thankfully we still have one of his teeth to remember him by.
Nope.
One of the most bizarre bits of Beatles memorabilia is going up for sale. It'll hit the auction block on November the 5th in England.
Barcelona!
There's a little unknown John Lennon track right there. John Lennon's tooth will be going up for sale. He gave the tooth to his housekeeper.
I used to play in John Lennon's tooth in college.
Stop it.
Sorry, that wasn't very good.
He asked his housekeeper to get rid of the tooth, but he also suggested it would be a great souvenir because his housekeeper's daughter was a major Beatles fan and said, look, if she's such a fan, she'd probably like to have this. And said, here, you can have my tooth. So yeah, all these years later, the daughter is putting it up for auction. They're speculating.
I've shown to the Queen about it on Thursday.
What?
That was her quote.
That's what she had to say.
They are speculating that bidding will start on the tooth at $16,000. It will probably sell for better than that.
How do they pick that number? How do they go 16?
Well, from all the other Beatles teeth that have been sold, you just look for, you know,
are there a lot
comps.
Of those?
You know, you just look and see what the going rate is for Beatle teeth.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
They could be shocked and surprised, I think, by the number it finally goes for. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes upwards of $100,000.
So
I mean,
somebody's going to spend $100,000 on it.
It'll be the most unique Beatles memorabilia thing ever. There's only one. No one else would be able to compete with you. Oh, really? You got one of those? I got one of those in my Beatles collection, too. Just not going to happen.
But don't you think they'll spend the rest of their life going, I'm serious, it's John Lennon's tooth?
I'm sure it comes with a certificate of authenticity.
So what? So does a star named after you. What difference does that make?
You're missing the point. It's tooth.
All right, it's a beetle tooth.
Oh, man. While we're talking about cool things to buy.
That's not cool.
If you're looking for something for me for Christmas, I know guys. Sometimes you guys have a hard time thinking of something for me for Christmas.
Yeah, I've been really racking my brain.
Well, jot this down.
All right.
The DeLorean company's getting back into business.
Yeah, no.
They're taking all the old leftover DeLorean bodies and parts from the DeLoreans, you know, the Back to the Future car.
Yeah.
They still have a warehouse full of stuff that when DeLorean went out of business, they held on to all the parts.
Right.
They are rebuilding. They're going to release DeLoreans again. This time, electric. Electric DeLoreans.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No way.
Yep. Electric DeLoreans go to up like 125 miles an hour. You get about 70 miles on a charge. Electric DeLoreans. That's faster than the original DeLorean went. Only about $80,000, they're saying.
No way. Not ever.
I would get an electric car if I could drive an electric DeLorean. That'd be awesome. Then it would die at the airport and I'd have to leave it there. But still.
Well, it'd be the downside of that.
It would be good.
Does it have to be bright yellow?
No.
Where you want to drive?
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Petty, 61 years old today. All right, just leave it be.
Good.
Danny Boyle, the movie director, is 55. Viggo Mortensen celebrates his 53rd birthday. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
He is 40 years old today. Actor John Krasinski from The Office is 32. And Victoria's Secret model Candace Swanepoel. She is 23 years old today.
Boy, that's a good deal right there.
It's a lot of goodness, that one.
He sure is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore.
She's been very excited about it, and I'm sure she's going to be excited about the season finale.
She's been suffering, and you guys have been mocking her for it.
How many weeks do we get off between the end of the Italy season and the beginning of the Seaside Heights season?
I hope none.
Because they filmed them back-to-back. I just wonder how they're airing them.
I don't know.
We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Cousin Sal on the program tomorrow. He, of course, is Jimmy Kimmel's cousin, and he's on his show. He also does his NFL picks on our show, and he's been pretty good as of late. We have Joe Levy from Maxim Magazine talking about their new episode and their new Australian swimsuit model, whose name escapes me, but she's pretty freaking hot.
I'm looking forward to the new episode.
The new issue. And we have Tim Armstrong of Rancid. He's going to be in studio talking about Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater.
And that's a new book?
That is not a book. That is a cartoon.
It's a movie by Robert Kingman.
It's a cartoon online. What's wrong with you people?
It's a new issue. Coming out.
So that's all
Could
tomorrow morning.
Say that a book is nothing more than a painting of words, which are the notes on the tapestry of the greatest film ever sculpted.
Yes, I would say that.
Sure. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.